talk.com.au, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter.
I'm Arthur Stevens. An Australian military plane is being sent to Japan to help stop North Korean ships evading international economic sanctions. The P-8A Poseidon surveillance aircraft bound for a U.S. facility in Japan and will work alongside Canadian military planes to monitor Pyongyang's vessels on the high seas. The UN has long suspected that North Korea has used illicit ship-to-ship transfers to try and avoid strict sanctions imposed on the country for its nuclear weapons program. The pressure on AMP's chair and board has increased after barristers for the Banking Royal Commission suggested the nation's largest wealth manager face criminal charges for lying to the corporate regulator. The fees for no service scandal has already claimed AMP CEO Greg Beller's job and wiped $2.2 billion off AMP's market value during the Commission's two-week financial advice hearing. There's now increasing speculation about the future of AMP Chair Catherine Brenner, with reports the board will hold a crisis meeting today and suggestions she'll be asked to resign at the meeting. An elderly man's died after the car he was a passenger in crashed into a traffic pole following a collision with a van in Sydney's north. The 90-year-old woman driver and a 94-year-old male passenger were trapped in the car for some time after the accident yesterday morning in St Ives. The man was taken to Royal North Shore Hospital with critical injuries and later died. The woman was treated for minor injuries. A woman motorcycle passenger is dead after she was hit by a falling tree branch near Tumut yesterday afternoon. Just after 3, a 57-year-old motorcyclist was hit by a falling tree branch on the Snowy Mountains Highway, with his 62-year-old pillion passenger dying at the scene. Meanwhile, Queensland motorcyclists have been warned of greater police scrutiny as authorities grapple with the rising number of rider deaths. Motorcyclists account for roughly 1 in 5 people who die on Queensland roads, despite representing only 4% of all motorists. That's according to Police Minister Mark Ryan. That number sparked a statewide campaign that will see officers put a greater focus on enforcement and rider safety. A man is due to face court in Perth, charged with murdering a 72-year-old man and trying to kill a woman in a suspected family violence incident. The Mount Lawley man was charged after a man was fatally injured at a Kelmscott home on Friday and a 72-year-old woman seriously injured. The 42-year-old accused man, who's also charged with attempting to kill the woman, is in custody and due to appear in Perth Magistrates Court today. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has arrived in Saudi Arabia on a hastily arranged visit to the Middle East as the U.S. aims to muster support for new sanctions against Iran. This from the BBC's Yolanda Knoll.
Mr. Pompeo's taken over at the State Department before a key deadline. If President Trump decides to restore economic sanctions on Tehran, it will deliver a severe blow to the 2015 nuclear deal, agreed by Iran, the U.S. and other world powers. In the Middle East, Mr. Pompeo will meet U.S. allies worried about Iran's regional role. Saudi Arabia, a Sunni Muslim power, sees Shiite Muslim Iran as its main rival. Jordan's King Abdullah has accused it of meddling in Syria, Iraq, Yemen and Lebanon. And Israel has long called for a tougher American approach on the nuclear pact.
This is Air News. Football and prodigal son Terry Antonis has propelled Melbourne Victory to an unlikely A-League Grand Final, scoring a stunning extra-time winner to defeat Sydney FC 3-2 and scupper the reigning champions' quest for back-to-back titles. Victory reigned in a hugely antagonistic semi-final that ended with the dismissal of Victory's goalkeeper coach Dean Anastasiadis and assistant coach Jean-Paul de Marigny. But the result will be remembered for the dreadful mistake and swift atonement of Antonis. Stoke City have picked up a hard-earned English Premier League point at Liverpool that gives their survival hopes some added steel. Few gave Paul Lambert's men a chance of taming the free-scoring Reds at Anfield, but they did that in a nil-all draw. It takes them up to 30 points and still in the bottom three with two games to go, but gives their relegation rivals plenty to think about. AFL and Hawthorn's finished with a wet sail to overcome St Kilda by 35 points in a match in which both teams have suffered the yips in front of goal. The Hawks never trailed on Saturday night in Launceston but were made to work for a 13-11, 89 to 7-12, 54 victory. Isaac Smith kicked four goals and was backed up by Jack Gunston, who booted three, including a crucial major early in the final term. Other winners last night, Adelaide and GWS. In rugby league, and they might be sweating on hooker Josh Hodgson's return, but Canberra appear to have a handy replacement with Silva Havili inspiring a drought-breaking 18-8 win over North Queensland. The Raiders snapped a 9-match losing streak in Townsville when Havili bulldozed his way over in the 73rd minute last night. It marked Canberra's first win over North Queensland in Townsville since round 12, 2006. In yesterday's other match, the Sharks pipped the Titans 10-9. Australian Independent Radio News.
Great staff are always the most important element of business. Nova Employment is a free disability employment service that takes the time to find you the right candidate.
I'm Shannon Earls from the SLA Makeup Academy. When we needed a new office assistant, we called the team at Nova Employment. They found us a great worker who puts in 110%. We couldn't be happier.
So if your business could benefit from great staff with ability, join the over 15,000 Sydney businesses who have made the switch. Visit novaemployment.com.au.
Mum, sometimes you have to think like a kid.
That's easy for you.
So seeing our April sale is on at Bingley, with huge savings on TVs, fridges, washers and more, and it's school holidays.
Yes.
We'll have a holiday expo at the same time.
That's thinking like a kid.
With free activity packs and chances to win prizes like a Google Home Mini, Luna Park ride passes and Bingley gift cards.
That's thinking like a kid.
The April Holiday Expo sale on now at Bingley.
You bring your kids and I'll bring Lionel.
Conditions apply.
Milos Nikovic, Rolante available. Can hit them from long range. We'll try one.
One corner remaining for Chas Mostyn. 250 hard fought kilometres. And Super Cheap Auto Racing is victorious. Well done, Chas Mostyn.
What a way to finish off. Here he goes. He winds up, Buddy. Eight or not? Yes! Eight is great for Buddy Franklin. The siren sounds and the Swans' first win. They've had to wait 7 weeks longer than they thought.
On Sky Sports Radio. Welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
You know what we hope here at the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend? That you're having a good start to your Sunday morning. Because invariably we are. Get the dreariness of the alarm going off at 4:46. You drag yourself out of bed. You wait. You get
what
into
time's
the,
yours go off?
Mine goes off at 5.
How long's your drive to here?
40, now with the roadworks going on here, 45 minutes.
So you shower and change and have breakfast and that?
No. I'm up, dressed, out the door.
Hence, there's some personal hygiene issues, I think.
We've been working together for 8 years. Did you know?
Panel operator Hamish on the ball there.
Hang on a minute. Have you ever once, during the course of that 8 years, questioned my personal hygiene?
No. Too polite to do that. But just
too polite. We're not going to be polite today, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to charge into what's happening in the week of sport. It's been another big one. Obviously, the rugby league is. And how about this? The sneaky competitiveness of Ray Thomas. The last thing I said when I was walking out to try and get my cup of tea, he said, oh, well, we start with the Anzac Day clash. I said, yeah, no worries. And then giving it further thought as I go, he's going, he's just worried about his Dragons pumping the Roosters.
The reason I wanted to talk was the Anzac Day celebrations. But you set up the first hour first. I'll show you.
We've got race replays coming up very shortly. We've got Joe Pride, a win for him yesterday with Pecans, the four-year-old mare. Richard Friedman's coming on. Wow, this was a good win. Roman Sun. Tip.
Good horse.
A good horse. Maybe Brisbane?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. Brisbane. Okay, Michael Hawks is on the program as well. A double for Team Hawks yesterday out there at Hawkesbury. Zorba will be talking league. I know it's been saying it for a couple of weeks now, but there are still questions lingering around what on earth is happening at the Manly Seagulls. I'll say this to Zorb. There appears to be a leadership vacuum at the Seagulls, and it's just resulting in unwanted headline after unwanted headline. Event Cinemas quiz score update.
Is it 9-6?
No, it's not.
Is it 10-6?
It is.
Okay.
There you go. 10-6 is the score update. We'll also have Abby McCulloch. It started last night, but Super Netball is back. Mm. Of course, a late start due to the Commonwealth Games, but the Swiss v. the Firebirds in a double header too, and out at Qdos Bank Arena. This is going to be a big season for the Swifts. They missed the four last year. They would be very disappointed with that. So their captain is Abby McCulloch. She's a great girl, great player. So excited to have her on the program. Dean Bulldog Richie with all the latest in rugby league. Sports update with Tanya. Robbie Slater with a football update. My goodness. I mean, I was watching the rugby league last night, and to the point where, and I don't do this often, I usually just watch the league where I was switching back to the A-League semi-final and then watched it after Could not believe the own goal. Could not believe the own goal by Terry Antonis.
But what about the goal to win it by Terry Antonis?
Unbelievable.
Ultimate redemption.
It is a brilliant redemption story.
And he was their best player too, I think. So
I felt like the ground... He just wanted to be swallowed up by the ground, didn't he?
I felt sorry for him. Yeah.
That own goal. They were 15 seconds away.
Mm.
And I thought to myself, at the time, I thought, they've done it again, Sydney FC.
Yeah.
They'll win this, and it'll probably be on penalties.
To be fair, I think the best side did win last night.
Okay, well, that is being fair. What about the goal on Friday night? Riley
Scorpion
McCree.
Kick.
Riley McCree. He's gone around the globe. That kick?
That's what he was trying to do, you know. It wasn't a fluke. He hit it flush.
Yeah.
And it went in the back. It was brilliant. So
I wonder if he's one of those guys at training, you know, you see, I know from a footy guy's point of view, where they kick goals from on the try line and all that.
Oh, yeah,
so, you know,
do
the trick shots. I wonder if he's one of those guys at training that always
like
doing
Mark
that sort of thing.
Quick cricket training, a little freakish thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It was brilliant. So Newcastle Jets versus Melbourne Victory Grand Final next week at Newcastle. They
full
won't,
house.
Won't be an empty seat.
Full
will
house.
Will not be an empty seat.
Which is fantastic. Speaking of, Nathan Brown. Somehow he's been able to drag his Newcastle Knights side to a victory against Manly. We don't know how well Manly's playing at the moment. Against Manly, minus Mitchell Pearce. Kalyn Ponga.
Everyone's second favourite side and everyone's favourite player now.
Star.
Ponga.
Star.
What a star.
So we'll have a chat to Glenn
Munden. He's got
Munden
that little, what would you call it? His little skip where he puts opposition defenders in two minds and he gets around them so easily.
Have you noticed this? He does it down one side.
Ah. And they'll quickly pick that up. Yeah
okay. I mean, he attacks down the right side of the field, but it's the left side of the field where he has the ability to skip away from that defender, attract that one.
Yep. And get the man in the clear.
It was textbook perfect for Nathan Ross on Friday night.
Yeah.
Textbook perfect.
He's an exciting player. Every time he picks up the ball, straight away you're glued.
I know.
You just want to see what he's going to do next.
Yeah,
he's one of those special
it
players.
Is very exciting. Okay. We'll talk about Anzac Day.
You didn't go.
No, in the end, I tell you, you know what happened? I had the boys all set to come with me, right?
Mm.
And then their mother wasn't that keen on going at all. But she
could have gone with the boys.
Yeah, and that's what I had planned to do.
Mm.
However, what happened was they had decided to get together with friends in the park down at Cronulla and have a bit of a barbecue and so forth.
Mm.
And then we'd go to someone's house and watch the footy after that point.
Fair enough.
But what she got them with was, and the boys from the other family, it was Joel Kane's family, he's got two boys about the same age, they're happy, they're really keen to trade footy cards. Well, that's the biggest craze in my house of all time now. So when I got home on the Monday night, I think it was, and said, boys, are we going to go to the footy? They said, no, we're trading
You're
cards.
You're the schmuck.
Yeah, exactly. I was the schmuck. Outsmarted, outpoint, outscored, outmaneuvered.
Did you at least watch it, James?
Oh, of course.
We were lucky to be there, and I've got to say that was one of the special days in sport that I've attended. The Anzac Day celebrations, you know, I've done this round, they should be commended for. They
brilliant, isn't
absolutely
it?
Absolutely fantastic
at
Allianz Stadium on Wednesday. I haven't been to a sporting event for a very, very long time, if ever, when I think everyone stood up and was singing with pride the national anthem.
Isn't
it was
great?
Quite extraordinary. And you could have heard a pin drop during the last post. It was just fantastic. And that's been replicated right through.
You with your military background too, that would resonate even stronger.
It does mean a special day.
Yes.
But that's been replicated right through every game so far.
Yes.
NRL should be applauded. It's fantastic. And it was a special day. And regardless of the result, it was a fantastic afternoon. And if you haven't been to an Anzac Day game between the Dragons and Roosters before, make a point of going there next year. Just over 41,000. You might think that was a record for the Anzac Day clash. They
brilliant.
Won't. Next year, I think it's at the SCG for the next 3 years,
yeah,
I understand.
Yeah, because of the remodel.
And there won't be an empty seat in the house.
Funnily enough, in the park where the boys were trading cards that afternoon, there was a guy who flew helicopters for the Army.
Okay.
Just so happened there.
Yeah.
And he talked about the time in 2011 when he piloted the helicopter into the stadium to deliver the match ball.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this was, and I said, I was there that day, and when they did that, it made me want to join the Army.
There you go,
And I thought to myself, what a great advertisement for the armed forces, because every young man and woman in that stadium that was the appropriate age would have felt, oh, hang on, this could be a career for me. I thought, whatever it cost the government, they don't do it now for safety reasons, but whatever it cost the government, I thought, money well spent.
Fantastic. The merchandise, one thing that really struck me at Allianz Stadium, out the front waiting for a couple of friends to arrive, there was a St. George, what do you call it, a stall?
Yeah, pop-up.
Line-up was, it couldn't get near the joint, and people were lined up for half an hour at least to buy stuff. When the Dragons are going well, that does help.
Yes, yes. And aren't they going well?
They are. And they were fantastic against the Roosters because we were sitting behind the goalposts at the end of the ground where the Roosters had up to six consecutive sets of six in that first half.
Yes.
And when they finally decided to take a penalty shot at goal, every one of those St. George players were high-fiving each other because that what was a mental turning point in the game, if I use that expression, Jim, because the Roosters were saying, well, geez, we can't break your line here.
Just going back to that merchandise point of view, I've never seen crowds now wear more merchandise.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a membership thing. If
you red and white was everywhere, wasn't it, on Wednesday? That's one thing we noticed. I'm not being rude, but it was mass red and white. So
it was a Dragons home game.
Yes.
It was a Dragons home game. Now we've got, I was out at Belmore. Not the biggest crowd out there at Belmore yesterday, but the Intra Super Premiership. It was a round eight clash between the Blacktown Workers,
Sea Eagles. Jackson Hastings play?
And the Bulldogs. Well, the Bulldogs won comfortably, played very well. Jackson Hastings played okay. He certainly played well enough to suggest he could handle NRL.
He has to come back in, doesn't he?
Well, this is the dilemma that Trent Barrett faces. This is the dilemma that the Manly club faces. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The leadership vacuum that has been exhibited by Manly. Like, Lyle Gorman's an experienced CEO. Mm. I know Lyle. Where's Lyle? Where's Scott Penn, the chairman?
Are they told to keep quiet? Are they told to stay out of it?
Well, don't you think Trent Barrett needs some help on this issue?
Yeah. Who advised them to come out and say Jackson Hastings is not wanted by the rest of his teammates? That was a bad mistake.
Very good point.
Very bad
good
PR
point. What
mistake.
Does he do now when he picks him?
Exactly.
Or if he picks him?
It was such a dumb thing because injuries can rock clubs, as we've seen happening to Manly now. And Lachlan Croker's knee injury is out for the season, isn't he?
Yes.
Jackson Hastings virtually has to come back in. And when he was playing quite well.
There are other options. There are other options. Manasseh Fainu is a young hooker who could play hooker, Api Korosau to 5'8".
Okay.
You know, there are other ways to go around it. But the obvious one is Jackson Hastings back in the side.
Yep.
And from what I understand, his relationship with Daly Cherry Evans has improved. They've sort of kissed and made up over the last couple of weeks. So
an interesting picture in the Sunday papers. Daly Cherry Evans was amongst the Manly players there watching Jackson Hastings play yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a messy situation. Manly fans, what are your thoughts? Outsiders, what are your thoughts too? 13:53:53.
Can I raise the Storm? Did you get a chance to watch the Storm Warriors game on Wednesday night?
Of course I did.
How good were the Storm? How bad were the Warriors? Has the bubble burst for the Warriors? Was it just the Storm one of those nights when everything just clicked? That first half was as good a pure foot attacking football as you'll see.
And, you know, a lot of people talk about the Storm and the Wrestle and all that sort of thing. They can play football. Oh, Josh Adokar, is he in your Origin side?
You know what? You'd almost pick him because the Blues need to score points to win, which has been a problem over the years. This guy is a try-scoring machine. Give him half a chance, he's through, he scores.
The game, the try scored out of dummy half. No one else in the league, maybe James Roberts
could
have scored it. Maybe James Roberts.
Pure speed. Pure speed.
And so they are brilliant to watch. I thought when they were in the in-goal area and they were down 30-0 and the 32 minutes gone on the clock and they were doing their breathing exercises, the Warriors, and poor little Jazz Tavanga was looking at the teammates around and going, what on earth is going on here? We're not meant to be down 30-0. We're meant to be on halfway doing it after we score.
How about Billy Slay? He's virtually playing the 5/8 role, isn't he? Or a second halfback role.
And changed the way fullbacks play forever. He's a game changer, Billy Slater. Just fantastic. So, yes, brilliant from the Storm. Certainly announced themselves as premiership
contenders. And that sets up probably the clash of the season so far next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Going to be
2
brilliant.
O'clock, Dragons versus Storm next Sunday. Where's that game being played?
That's at Cogra.
Cogra, yeah.
So that'll be standing room only out there at Cogra for that one. The other one, of course, the standalone meeting in Hawkesbury. I know it's...
Yes.
Is it your favourite?
It is.
Your favourite meeting?
I love it. Yeah,
there you go.
I love it. And I haven't missed one, you know, since they first started in 2006.
There you go.
And I think the crowd was just under 10,000. And you know what, Jim? You probably couldn't fit any more in. You've been there when it was just over 12,000, was it, you came?
I've been there a couple of years.
Yeah, and it gets pretty tight and uncomfortable in that betting ring.
They're an engaged crowd too, aren't they?
They love it. They love it. Yeah, and so just under 10,000. A little bit of rain yesterday morning. It hasn't rained since for 100 years.
Yeah,
and it rains on the morning of the standalone. May have kept 1,000 or 2 away, but terrific race. Meaning apparently the betting turnover again was through the roof.
Is that right?
I think it broke $7 million again for the second consecutive year, and justifiably so because the quality of the fields yesterday were as good as I've seen for a Hawkesbury standalone. And in saying that, today's Tamworth Cup. the showcase meeting this afternoon.
Mrs. Thomas heading out?
I hope Mum goes. She should go because it's the best Tamworth Cup field I can ever recall.
Oh, wow.
It is fantastic.
And you'll have a tip for us there a little bit later
on, yep.
Excellent. And just before we go to the break, we've got our talk topic today, and that's encouraged by the signing of Andrew Boga during the week. It is big news for an NBL competition. Larry Kestelman, who is the owner of the NBL and he owns Melbourne United, he should be applauded for the way he's been able to see the opportunity and then make the most of that. But Andrew Bogut signing with them, they've put all sorts of incentives in there about equity in the team during the course of his playing tenure and beyond that. It is a massive coup. He is worth watching. Like, that becomes a hot ticket in town, right?
I was saying to Tanya, we might be struggling to get tickets to the Kings from now on.
The Royal Couple.
They'll be sold out, which is great for basketball and great
for
the Kings.
Not so good for you and Tan.
No, probably not. Anyway. Okay, so on that theme, marquee players.
All right. Oh, go on, you go. You go first. Because go on.
But you read my mind last night.
Oh,
so
mate.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Well, you sent the text here and said, how about we go marquee players on the back of Bogut? I said, great idea. And you can say...
Oh, okay. So Donald Bradman, 1934, he's moved to South Australia. It's been a while since I mentioned the Don on this show. So.
I know.
But can you imagine how big that would have been at the time?
Huge. Was it a stockbroking firm that he went over to work with?
Yes, South Australian Cricket actually backed and subsidised his wages as well. And they gave him that job as a sock, which he had for the rest of his life, actually.
Yes.
And lived in Adelaide for the rest of his life. And that move to, even back then... would have been unbelievably huge news in the world of cricket, right around the world, because he was obviously the biggest name the sport have ever seen and probably still has. And that move from New South Wales to South Australia, I think he pioneered the marquee player movement.
No, maybe not, because I'm going to go a little bit earlier.
Oh, really?
Babe Ruth,
okay.
Babe Ruth, from Boston to New York, 1920, he was turning out for New York.
Fair enough.
And the curse of the Bambino lasted for 86 years.
Good one.
In that period of time when he was there, I think they won seven American League championships and four World Series.
Babe Ruth.
15 years. And they called it Yankee Stadium, the house that Babe built.
That's right, yeah.
It was a popular sport then, but made it even more popular, the great Babe Ruth. So we'll take your nominations
so many
on
Babe
that.
Ruth stories.
1353-53, the open line number. We've got CDs to give away. We've got the Elvis Presley, the Searchers, the original soundtrack.
And don't forget, you're the prize giveaway now.
Yeah.
I've sacked myself.
You have, because we've got...
last week's Capgate scandal.
Caps to give away, and we had this even before the program started. Good morning. Have a great show, and we won't mention the cap kerfuffle from last week. That's Michelle from Dubbo.
Did Michelle get a cap?
Well, I'm sure after all that, she would have got a cap there. Let's
so our system does work?
It works.
Okay.
I say, okay. With fingers crossed.
Michelle might let us know anyway.
22 minutes past 7 here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Punters, it's Sky Shout at selected venues this Saturday afternoon. Come along to Fig Tree Hotel, Wanunabulai RSL, West Illawarra or Bay Hotel Motel Bonnells Bay and enjoy a platter lunch courtesy of Sky. Plus, there'll be merchandise giveaways. Enjoy a punt with your mates on Lord Mayor's Cup Day and let Sky take care of lunch. That's Fig Tree Hotel, Wanunabulai RSL, West Illawarra and Bay Hotel Motel Bonnells Bay this Saturday afternoon for Sky Shout.
The man who can see the crowd now rise to acclaim him, because Sebastian Vettel starts off 2017 by winning the Australian Grand Prix. Ferrari on top, down under.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Did you get a chance to watch the Hawkesbury standalone yesterday?
Absolutely. Mm. I watched not every race because I had work commitments, but certainly the ones that I had a little dabble in.
Where'd you work yesterday? Oh, of course, Jackson Hastings.
Jackson Hastings. Yeah. We get this from Wayne Walters. Wayne, who says, come on, Jimmy, it makes very little difference if it's a Dragons or a Roosters home game on Anzac Day. It is always an 80-20 split crowd to the Red V.
Probably right.
You might be right.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
That's what struck me, was just the red and white was everywhere. But
But
it was a great afternoon to be there.
And you flogged them.
They play well, the Dragons, didn't they?
They are. They
just
are.
Get the Panthers on Friday night. There's so many men out injured, and losing Edwards so early in the game.
Oh, dislocated shoulder.
Looks like he'll be out for weeks. They were terrific, the Panthers.
James Maloney. Mm. Is in a rare patch of form.
Gee, he controlled that second half so well, didn't he?
Did it comfortably.
So good, yeah. Anyway, back to the Hawkesbury Stallion. Terrific race day again. Congratulations to Greg Rudolph and the team out there. One of the races I want you to listen to, Jim, because I think this horse potentially is very, very good, and the runner-up can also go places. It's race two. It's the Clarendon Stakes for two-year-olds. Graf wins.
Stun's got away at the top of the straight, leads by a length, make Graf it two then, now mate. To Georgia Hit, Momentum Factor, Orsi, and then followed Cara's Hope and Graf. It's still Stunts in front, 150 to go, still clear. Orsi and Graf trying to pick up the pieces again late, and Mickey Blue Eyes, it's Stunts in front. Graf is coming with Mickey Blue Eyes and Graf. Graf somehow has won it from Mickey Blue Eyes and Stunts. Fourth in either Orsi or Momentum Factor.
All right. Named after Steffi or Sean?
I don't know.
All right. Where now for Graf and Mickey Blue Eyes too?
I think they'll both head to Brisbane for the Sires Produce Stakes and JJ Atkins. And look, I think the margin was small and he looked under pressure 600 metres out, Graf. I thought he was going to run last.
Mm.
But the reason for that, Jim, is they went so slow the first half of that race. They were literally almost at walking pace. They've come home in sub 34 on a day when they weren't running fast times at Hawkesbury. That was the best sectional split of the day.
Is it? Right.
So the wins of Graf and Mickey Blue Eyes, I think, were absolutely excellent. And they're two horses to follow going forward. One of the big ones yesterday was the Godolphin Crown. Great training performance just by Joe Pride to produce Pecans first up.
Around the corner, White Moss the leader, tried to get away from Pecans. Sedenza's got a split now. Louboutin is next, then Gassoni. Shazzy Lee back to the inside. 2:25 left to run. It's White Moss joined now by Pecans. Shazzy Lee back to the inner. Then Gassoni and Slow Burnout wider. Pecans is in front from Shazzy Lee and Gassoni. Pecans is just in front and Pecans won the crown. Pecans beat Gassoni and Photo 13.
So this is interesting. There are so many things to play out of this. Pecans has won the Godolphin Crown after being a Godolphin horse, purchased as a tried horse for $50,000, has now returned $250,000 in prize money.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic return
in
on
less
investment.
Less than a year.
Well done, Joe Pride. And Josh Parr used to ride Skilled, in fact, rode his first Group 1 winner, who is the sire of Pecans.
And he used to ride a lot for Godolphin back in the day.
There you go.
A fair bit of irony there. Irony, is that the right word?
Coincidence?
Yeah.
Is it more coincidence than irony?
I often use irony in the wrong context. I probably did again this morning. On to the Hawkesbury Gold Cup.
And I love it when you talk to yourself on air, right?
Team Hawks had a terrific day. They won the Hawkesbury Rush with Glenn Orr, and they got their second stakes winner with the very reliable Kingsguard.
At the home corner, Ecuador is in front, leading by a length, the Kingsguard, who sticks with. Lavani is third, McCreary back to the inside, and then followed McIntosh, Duca Valentinoa hooks out. Ecuador joined by McCreary, back to the inside, Articus runs home, Kingsguard is still there, then followed Lavani, and so too boxing on Ecuador. It's McCreary and Kingsguard. Kingsguard hit the front with 50 to run. Kingsguard's just in front. Kingsguard won the cup. Kingsguard beat Ecuador and McCreary.
So Kingsguard a winner there for Team Hawks. We're going to speak to Michael a little bit later on in the program as well. Brenton Abdullah, a rider in form, has been over about 3 years. But anyway, said on Tuesday, look, got a really good feel from the horse that doesn't usually give him a good feel.
Yeah.
So that was a good sign going
into
that.
And also interesting, you see, he didn't know he was riding it until Wednesday when the fields came out.
That's right.
So, yeah, he did a great job on Kingsguard. Great job also on Glen Orr.
Obvious one is the Scone Mile.
Yes, yeah, he's a very, very good miler, Kingsguard. That's in on Friday week now. Scone Carnival, come around fast. It's my second favourite race of the year. On to the Hawkesbury Guineas, and great ride by Josh Parr on Sambro.
Food Chew is after Warranty at the top of the straight. Sambro's out now, and then followed Bo Guess. Victorum's trying to wind up out wider, and here he comes now, Victorum. 100 metres left to run. Victorum swept upon the front. Sambro tries to go with him. It's Victorum. Sambro kicks back, and Sambro's won the Guineas. Sambro beat Victorum. Third either Bo Guess, Warranty, then followed by...
So the country championship winner, Victorum, couldn't quite get there with Sambro. So well done, Chris Wallett, Josh Parr. Expectations of Sambro. And what about Victorum too?
Yeah, look, Jenny Graham wasn't disappointed with that defeat. Looking now towards Brisbane rather than Scone, because he had a tough run yesterday from a wide barrier. Sambro probably similar.
Okay.
They're both good three-year-olds in form who will certainly pay their way up in Brisbane. I think the best horse of the day at Hawkesbury yesterday was in the last. This is a horse we've all got to follow. His name is Roman Sun.
Concessions at the 4:25 leads narrowly Mandalay Bay. Naval Warfare about to get in the clear. Mazazza's next. Roman Sun to the outside, then followed by Morning Tim. It's Concessions in front. Mandalay Bay can't do much better. Roman Sun winding up. Naval Warfare the centre. Roman Sun at the 100-metre mark moved up to Concessions and Mazazz. Roman Sun struck the front, and away goes the favourite in the last. Roman Sun, a nice horse this guy. He won it by two. Mazazz second. Mandalay Bay third.
Well, this is the one you told me to back during the day, and I didn't. But when I watched the replay on it, it looked a big awkward-looking horse until he gets into stride.
Well, gee, he's got a rare gift for a stayer, Jim, and that's a turn of foot.
Right.
And that's going to win him a lot of races and a lot of good races. We'll talk to Richard Freeman later. He's sort of
what's he going to do? Yeah,
he's trying to keep the lid on this horse's boom. Okay. It's going to become a struggle now because I think everyone's jumping on the Roman Sun bandwagon. I think a race like the Brisbane Cup's an obvious target.
What's that distance?
2,400 now.
2,400.
Although it's not run at Eagle Farm this year, so I'll have to check what the distance is for the Brisbane Cup. That would then, if he could win that, would set him up nicely to get a weight where he could potentially run in the Caulfield and Melbourne Cups in the spring. I know I'm jumping ahead of myself, but we'll talk to Richard later. I think this horse is good enough to go a long, long way. He's a real star in the making, Roman Sun. One more quick replay, Jim, because Impending returned for his final race campaign yesterday at Doom, and he's going to stud at the end of this season. Brilliant first up in the Victory Stakes, Impending.
Zartan Fahima, Shergul Stav, most important Sabino, Impending carcass out, and down the outside as I'm excited, Shergul Stav, most important, Impending is out now, Sabino and I'm excited, down the outside, most important, Impending off the run, most important, Impending, Impending's the 1-2 classy, Impending ahead, the most important third, I'm excited, followed by Shergul Stav.
So Impending gets the win, and we're looking for a Strady market. We can't quite
nothing
find
up,
it here at cab.com.au.
I think the noms are out tomorrow, actually.
So okay, yeah. We'll have a market up then.
He won the Stradbroke last year, and trying to go back-to-back will be his last run before he goes to stud at Darley. He was terrific yesterday, Jim, because he was held up for such a long way down the straight. When the run came, he really attacked the line.
SMS coming in. Good morning, Jimmy and Ray. Great list. It's talking about the list of the 25... potential Hall of Fame inductees.
Yeah.
It was on last night on Fox League, and you went through, and it's in the middle of the paper today too, in the sports lift out of the Sunday Telegraph. My immediate thought is, how on earth do you get those names, 25 of them, down to six? Remember, the Hall of Fame inductees, the 100 that automatically go into the Hall of Fame, are the 100 that were named as the best 100 players in rugby league in 2008.
One question before we go to break, Jim.
Yep.
Why has it been 10 years since the last Hall of Fame induction?
It's a very good question, and I can't answer that other than eyes off the ball. And I know you do the Racing Hall of Fame, and they do it every year.
Yep.
And then now they've found, finally, Frank Pulitua and the team at the NRL have put some structure around what's to come.
Will this be an annual celebration?
It was so haphazard.
Now?
It will be annual.
That's
previously, but Frank and the team there have done a really good job. Jimmy and Ray, John Singleton, bringing Manfred Moore from the NFL to the Newtown Jets back in 1977 was big news at the time. Cheers.
That'll be hard
John
to beat,
from
actually.
Moorbank.
Manfred Moore. He was an NFL player, wasn't he?
What, he lasted seven games. I think he got Nufford.
These are too tough, wasn't
he? He got cut in one of the first games, and they stitched him. You're saying, not for me. 1353 is the open line number. It's 27 minutes to 8 here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with calls.
Great staff are always the most important element of business. Nova Employment is a free disability employment service that takes the time to find you the right candidate.
I'm Michael from Landscape Excellence. This year, we hired a landscape gardener through Nova Employment. His work ethic and superb attention to detail makes him a very valuable employee.
So if your business could benefit from great staff with ability, join the over 15,000 Sydney businesses who have made the switch. Visit novaemployment.com.au.
Punters, it's Sky Shout at selected venues this Saturday afternoon. Come along to Bankstown Sports or Wendy Leagues and enjoy a platter lunch courtesy of Sky. Plus, there'll be merchandise giveaways. Enjoy a punt with your mates on Lord Mayor's Cup Day and let Sky take care of lunch. That's Bankstown Sports and Wendy Leagues this Saturday afternoon for Sky Shout.
Out to Jingle and Joe. Inside kick out Rudy. Rudy drives, spins. Back out Ingles. Shoots it up and puts it down. And takes a look at Paul George. That's a big shot, Jingle and Joe.
You're listening.
listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, I think we're back on air, Ray, when the red light goes on. That's okay. Just want to make mention of the fact that those games from last night, I don't know whether how many people were able to watch them, but victories for the Sharks, 10-9.
That was a grind, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a grind. But the Raiders, 18-8 over the Cowboys. Cowboys, what did we say a week ago? They're on life support. Gee, they're almost flatlining now, aren't they? Raiders, that was a very good win for the Raiders.
I saw John O'Shea at Hawkesbury Sandlane yesterday. I said, the Cowboys are back, joint. No, Ray.
No.
And I said, no, they were fantastic last week. Nope, not getting ahead of myself. He knew.
He was right.
He knew.
He was right, yeah. 1353-53. That's the open line number. Let's go to callers there. Michael is on the line. G'day, Michael.
Jimmy, hey, boys.
Morning, Michael.
Hey, Jimmy, I met you the other week with Jolly Kane down at next door. It's Fitzy.
Oh, Fitzy.
How are you, champion?
Very well, mate. Very well. What do you got for us?
Did you tip Jimmy into my tip I gave you for our horse, Pecans, that won yesterday?
Oh.
Did you get the tip for it, did you? You know, paid about 17 or 18 bucks yesterday.
Did it really?
Yeah. It got to.
What did it get to?
19.
It sounds like you got it at the top of the market, Michael.
Mate, I jumped on late. It was excellent. It was a great day.
Were you one of the owners who were there yesterday, Michael?
Yeah, I saw you, Ray. I was going to come Group. Over, but I didn't want to rub it in.
Well done. Group 1 celebrations from the owners. And
was it?
Yeah, no, and told to, because this is a horse you picked up for, what, 50,000, Michael, your syndicate?
James Moss from Tricolour.
That's
it. Up for 50K from Godolphin.
And he's won almost a quarter of a mil for you in less than a year, and there's a lot more to come. She's a terrific little mare.
Mate, she's awesome. She's a legend. She's an absolute trooper.
Yeah.
And, Mossy's done a great job, mate. The Tricolours guys, it's the first horse we've owned, and he is absolute champion. So, I know Jimmy knows him, so it's a great thing for him. So.
Yeah, this is not the first horse that he had, because in the article you said that they were starting up a syndication.
Tricolours
syndication. Yeah. Okay, yeah, right. How often do you reckon you're texting Joe Pride now?
Oh, mate, Joe's done a great job with that. He was confident as going in too, which was good. Like, he sent us a video out on Friday night, and she looked tip-top, so... all confident.
Stay listening, Michael, because we've got your trainer on very shortly, and he's got some... and quite rightly so, some good plans going forward with Pecans, who was terrific
yesterday. We're thinking Brisbane, not Scone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And no doubt you'll have an impact on that too.
No, she's in great hands with Joe, and whatever he decides, is, you know, that's his choice, and he hasn't missed a beat with us. So
I'll enjoy the ride, fantastic. Michael. There's nothing like when you have a winner, but when you win a stakes race, I couldn't imagine what it'd be like, Michael.
Oh, mate, that's two now. She's won Bella Turf and yesterday, which was enormous.
I'll see you down at Plan B next time, Fitzy.
Thanks, boys. Good on you.
Caller. Very happy there. Part owner, 1353-53, the open line number. Dougie is on the line. G'day, Doug.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray.
Morning, Doug.
I just want to talk about referees.
Yep.
They get a lot of pressure on them, and I don't know who's the back of that. Now, I think could be something going on.
What are you saying, Doug? The media put too much pressure on referees, or...?
No, someone else, like, you know, the head of the referees, like...
Yeah, well, he should be putting pressure on them, because they've got to perform.
Like everything.
Yeah.
I know they're under scrutiny, but it is such a high-profile game, and you want them to get it more right than wrong, don't you?
I think, Dougie, what you have to understand is that they will get it wrong sometimes. They're human, like all of us.
Oh, that's exactly right, yeah.
Yep. Yep.
They've got to make the coaches happy and everyone else happy.
Yeah, and you know, they talk about it. Now, I'm not sure whether the number 6,000 or 10,000, but how many decisions they make, discretionary decisions they make during the course of any one 80-minute period is just amazing. So keeps them all on their toes, Dougie.
Yeah. Oh, they're still looking for more new referees anyway, I hear.
It's a thankless job.
Well, mate, I was there at an under-7s game. Good on you, Dougie. Appreciate the call. I was there at an under-7s game yesterday, and young Harrison was the referee. And when I say young, he'd have been 14.
Yeah.
And
good on him having a go.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there was someone on the sideline speaking
Okay.
Speaking to him with a New South Wales Rugby League badge on, saying, oh, mate, you're doing this well, and you're doing this.
That's good.
It was. And I thought, wow.
I thought you were going to say some parent was abusing
him.
No.
I'll tell you what. Overall, the experience I've had with 99% of parents at junior sport in rugby league in the Shire has been really positive.
I'd say it's 99% of parents just about everywhere, I reckon.
Probably.
It's a very small rogue element who take it a little bit too seriously at times.
Absolutely, absolutely. 1353-53 is the open line number. A great marquee cricket signing for the Waverley Cricket Club in 1978-79 with Geoffrey Boy Cott from English countryside Yorkshire, Eddie from Glenfield.
Gee, that would have been big news, wouldn't it?
You know he scored more runs than anyone else in the history of Waverley cricket in that season. He came out and plundered runs.
Boycott
did, absolutely. He had a thirst for batting. You've heard the great Keith Atherton, Geoffrey Boycott story.
No.
Keith Atherton, the middle-order batsman for the West Indies.
Yeah, left-hander, wasn't he, by memory?
Oh, good question, don't know. Yeah. He met Geoffrey Boycott, and he said, you must really like batting. He said, the good ones like it, son. The great ones love it.
Good point.
There we go. And that, of course, was Sir Geoffrey Boycott.
I wonder if this trainer loves this horse. I know he was downplaying a bit yesterday, which is normal trainer speak, but as I said to you, Jim, it's very rare to see a stayer with acceleration like Roman Sun's got.
Hang on, this bloke knows how the media works.
Exactly. Let's ask him. Richard Friedman's been good enough to join us bright and early on a Sunday morning. Richard, and I know you've got to keep a lid on this boom, so to speak, but he was impressive again yesterday, Roman Sun.
Yes, I must concede he is going fairly well. By the way, good morning, boys.
Good morning, Richard.
Nice morning. It's always a good morning after you've had a winner. He was quite impressive yesterday. He did a couple of things wrong. You know, he went for the gate of the mounted yard when he thought, "Well, I've got these blokes beaten.
Job done.
Home."
Job done. Yeah.
So he tried to go for the gate of the mounted yard, and Ty said, "Oh, is that to straighten him up?" He said, "He's still got things to learn, but yeah, he is going pretty well."
Yeah, so that's a good sign, isn't it? He's a bit green. I think your quote after the race was he was all over the place after just the one bend, but there sounds like there's a lot of improvement left in him, Richard.
Well, you hope so. I mean, when he eventually learns to do, you know, virtually everything right, then he'll be able to compete with better horses. That's where the improvement will come. At the moment, he can beat up on horses around this grade, but when you've got a try and beat horses of high quality, then you have to do everything right.
Richard, the one asset he's got, as I mentioned earlier, is he's got acceleration at the end of his races. That's going to win him a lot of staying races. Where to next? Is the Brisbane Cup the sort of logical end target for this prep?
It is at this stage. He's, it's only 2,200 metres this year.
That's it. Yeah,
because
okay.
It's being run at Doomben.
Yeah.
That could be in his target range, that race. He probably gets in, they'll noms for that, I think, close on Tuesday. And he'll probably get into that with a reasonable weight. But then it depends on what he does along the way, because there aren't many, you can't do the old Caulfield Cup trick and run them in wait for age races until the Cup comes along, because I don't think there are that many options. So you end up running in handicaps where you could get penalised. But, you know, penalties are only given to horses who earn them. So that's just part of the deal. Look, I wouldn't be saying to the owners, oh, we're definitely going there. Well, just, I know this is a really boring, cliched answer, but you just got to take it one race at a time.
Oh, hang on a minute. It sounds like you've played halfback in the NRL match overnight.
I know. It's a terrible answer. The answer I used to hate getting. But seriously, with him, I'll pick the next target, talk it over with the owners, pick the next target, see what he does from there. If he keeps climbing the steps, we'll keep pushing him towards that target. But, you know, the moment he tells us, oh, something's niggling me, I'm not quite ready for that, then we'll pull the pin.
Best distance, Rich, do you think?
Oh, hard one on this horse. He relaxes well enough to run a long journey. You know, he relaxes so well. He could run proper staying races, 28, 3,200 metres. But it just gives me the impression with it that he's got a little bit too much brilliance. You don't normally see those horses with a turn of foot and acceleration that he's got. They usually excel at shorter distances. So I just have to be mindful of that. The answer is I don't actually know, but I'm going to find out.
It's a balancing act, isn't it, Richard? Because if you start training him as you suspect that he might be a genuine two-mile like his mum and dad were, but then you may actually train that brilliance, that speed out of his legs, which you don't want, because it's such an asset, isn't it?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm thinking. Ray. And the other thing with that is he's not 100% sound. He's, you know, he's had a tyre back operation. He's had to be spelled, had decent spells for issues with his front legs. The amount of work it takes to get horses fit for those long staying races, that's what takes the toll on them. It's not the racing. It's the amount of training that they have to cop to do that. And whether he's quite ready or will ever be ready to handle that is a question.
How are you going with this training, Caper Rich? You've got a few horses out there. And you, mate, what happened? We used to see you in here on a Sunday morning. What's going on?
I love horses. I've always loved horses. It's been, you know, since I was a very little boy. But, you know, I had a way away from being a professional in it. And, you know, I've got to say, I do love training racehorses. It's fun. You know, there's no money in it, but it's fun.
There's money in it when you win, though, Rich, which you're actually making a habit of doing, which is great to see. And you've got some... Were you going
to
say, Jim?
Yeah. Oh, it just brings me to your list of grievances. I thought the one that was most ridiculous was when you see people in their yachts park their yacht too close to your yacht. I thought, this is a man who has been completely lost touch with the common man.
This is that is exactly the kind of thing that when I was doing that I would put out there, because people like you would react exactly that way.
Very good.
Hook, line, and sinker got you there, James.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I knew I was being baited, but I took the bait. I still couldn't help myself. I couldn't help myself.
And you know what? You felt good about it.
Roman's son is $51 for the Caulfield Cup at tab.com.au. There we go. Yeah, it's exciting times.
Should be twice the price.
Booms on him, Richard. It's unavoidable.
Ray's talked him up all morning.
That's your fault. You folks have done that.
Hey, mate, congratulations. A great win. Very exciting for you, and we appreciate your time this morning.
Appreciate you having me on. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Richard.
Richard Freeman there, trainer of Roman's son, and as you say, Ray, a very impressive winner out there at Horsley. We're going to take a break, 13:53:53. It's only 14 minutes remaining in this hour.
Gee, flies.
Punters, it's Sky Shout at selected venues this Saturday afternoon. Come along to Fig Tree Hotel, Wanoonabulli RSL, West Illawarra or Bay Hotel Motel Bonnells Bay and enjoy a platter lunch courtesy of Sky. Plus, there'll be merchandise giveaways. Enjoy a punt with your mates on Lord Mayor's Cup Day and let Sky take care of lunch. That's Fig Tree Hotel, Wanoonabulli RSL, West Illawarra and Bay Hotel Motel Bonnells Bay this Saturday afternoon for Sky Shout.
Walking regularly to school is a great way to exercise. But until they're 10, children must always hold an adult's hand when crossing the road. Friday, 18th of May, is National Walk Safely to School Day. If you can't walk all the way, combine a walk with public transport. If you must use a car, leave it a good distance from school and walk the rest of the way.
And remember, active kids are smarter kids.
Find us at walk.com.au, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter.
El Mandan and Heartbreak City, what a finish to the Melbourne Cup. El Mandan putting his nose in front of Heartbreak City. They hit the line. El Mandan won it by a very narrow margin from Heartbreak City.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Jimmy, we've had people flooding in with their marquee players.
Gee, they come up with good ones. Luke on Twitter, and you want to send a tweet, at BigSportsWEND. All night Dwight York for Sydney FC in the first season of the A-League. Brought the bling and they won the grand final. This comes in from Frank on Twitter again. Imran Khan to New South Wales. Sir Garfield Sobers and Barry Richards to South Australia.
That was big at the time.
We had Barry Richards on the program. And this one from Bruce. Morning, JNR. Is DCE a protected species? That eye-gouging incident required more investigation than that. Something definitely occurred in the incident, and DCE should have gotten something.
What do you think, Jim? It didn't look good.
Didn't look good at all. And Jamie Bure reacted straight away, didn't he?
And they're good mates.
So there you go. I don't know. That was a strange one. Obviously, the match review committee would have looked at it closely and said, no worries. But it not a good look.
It wasn't a good look. I tell you, it was a good look yesterday. Was Pecan's terrific first up in the Godolphin Crown. Great training effort. We've got Joe Pride on the line. Joe, good morning. We've had one of your owners already on the line, very excited about Pecan's, and she's such a genuine mare, though. You can't help but get excited about her, Joe. Good morning.
An enthusiastic bunch, though.
Group one celebration yesterday, Joe.
Yeah, it sure was. Yeah, I heard him roar out of the grandstand when she went over the line. That was great.
First up, too. Is that something that she's responded to previously, Joe?
No, look, I think she runs well fresh. I've only had her for the one preparation before this one. So she does run well fresh, and she did have the three trials, so she's pretty well prepared for it. But all the same, it was, 1,300 metres in a group three race. Not easy to do, and she's come back in terrific order.
Yeah, she's gone back-to-back at stakes level now, Joe. She won the Bellwether Turf at her last run back in the summer. What was it about her as a tried racehorse that convinced you she'd be worthy of the Tricolours Syndicate's investment?
Yeah, sure. We went down to travel down to Melbourne with James Moss, who runs Tricolours, and just looking mainly at the daily horses that day. And she's just a mare with she's got a really nice scope about her, nice width between the hips, big set of ears, lots of that in the mare, and beautiful eye on her, and she just appealed. I mean, she'd only had the seven starts, the one win, and she sort of made it like she had some upside to her, sort of probably going to be, honest, didn't think we were going to be buying a dual group winner at that point, but just hoping to pick up a nice horse we're going to have a bit of fun with.
All right, Joe, I don't know a lot about the horse racing game, but big ears.
I'm telling you, big ears on a mare.
Okay. Does that mean they're good listeners?
Not really.
Right.
No. It is an unusual thing, isn't it? You think, why the hell big ears? But you see it so often on good mares. They have I know it sounds bizarre, but they do. They have big telling you.
Yeah, right. Interesting. I would say something here about my wife, but anyway, good morning to Tracy.
Say that.
No, I can't say
didn't
that.
Did she become an Australian citizen?
She did on Friday. Yeah, very exciting for the whole family.
To lovely Tracy.
You mentioned a setback that the horse had a little bit early. What was that, Joe?
The inflammation in the stomach. So I don't have blood on it, which I tend to be resting, but I wasn't always happy with that. A little bit of a temperature.
We're just breaking up there, Joe. Perhaps if you move, I think you were talking about that little infection she may have had, but you had her treated and had her ready to go first up. What about going forward now, Joe, with her scones coming up? Is that an option?
Yeah, they're probably going to bypass scone. It's not something that is positive for her. Hope to end it a little bit higher and take it to Brisbane for a
I did want to ask him about Terra Vista. I think trials next Friday ahead of the Doomben 10,000. Are you still there, Joe?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I got you now, yeah. Terra Vista, just finally, Joe, I think he trials, you told me last week, this Friday coming, and then all systems go, hopefully, to the Doomben 10,000.
He does, yeah. He's in good order, so he's going to go up to Brisbane for that race, and that'll probably be the only start he'll have up there. But, he's in terrific order, and looking forward to seeing him trial.
Geez, he's taken the owners on a ride, Terra Vista.
Yeah, it's been a fantastic horse.
Brilliant. Well done yesterday, Joe. Great training performance first up for Pecans. As we know, the owners are happy. They're already ringing into the program. So no doubt you get plenty of text messages and a nice sling out of that one, which is good.
Beautiful. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe Pride there, winner yesterday at Hawkesbury, 13:53:53.
How did your horse trial the other day, James? Went quite nicely.
Thank you. I sent the replay.
We'll
have
to reveal
you.
The name on air to the listeners.
Yeah, King's Trust. King's Trust, after a number of name changes. I've got a very small part of the horse.
You're not going to drive Peter and Paul Snowden completely mad with this, eh?
Oh, no, I'll still drive them mad. No. Yeah, absolutely. P&P Snowden.
Number will come up. Oh, no, don't answer this.
Hey, Paul, you take that.
Have you got a half hour to spare?
No, it was encouraging. It was encouraging.
Yeah,
so
very nice trial.
We are very excited.
What's he
buy? Hinchinbrook.
Hinchinbrook.
Rose tinted. So there you go. 13:53:53. The open line number. Good to see local battler Richard Friedman channeling his inner Donald Trump by calling into a broadcast. Both men of the people, Mitch from Denver. Look, just to clarify, we did have Richard Friedman on the program. Here's another one. This comes in from Bobby. It's a good one. Dally Messenger, changing from Union, where he played two tests and was regarded their best, to play in the first league game played. He's the first superstar, and he played four test matches.
Yeah, good call.
Great call.
Is he an immortal?
No, he's not an immortal. Remember, the immortals only stretch back to World War II. So it was from World War II to 1980 when it was first done by the Rugby League Week.
Okay.
That's why this now, they've gone back to 1908.
Yeah.
1908.
So a great player, Dave Brown, all those great players pre-World War II.
Appropriately. Well, yeah. Dally Messenger, you would think, is the first immortal, you would have thought. 1353-53. Cowboy Josh is there. G'day, CJ.
Morning, boys. How are you going?
Morning, Cowboy.
I had not a bad day on the punt yesterday at Hawkesbury. Unfortunately, I put my biggest plunge on in times of war.
Did you go out there, Josh? Did you go out to the race?
No, mate, I'm in Newcastle.
Oh, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was at work, actually. But,
fair enough. Having a few bets in between, that's the way.
I just want to talk about the Cowboys. They look really disjointed. Last night, they looked really unenthused. There was no urgency there. Probably the worst I've seen him play for 4 years. Burson was really busting his ass to get that team going, and they just would not fire.
It's. I agree with you. It's the worst I think we've seen them play under the Paul Green, in the Paul Green era.
And it's so un-Paul Green-like for his teams, aren't they?
He's acknowledged as one of the outstanding coaches in the league. He's going to be paid accordingly by the Cowboys moving forward. I agree with you that Jonathan Thurston tried everything in that game.
And played quite well.
Michael Morgan is still, there's still something not right with Michael Morgan, and it was interesting, back into the game, he moved him to fullback.
And even Taumalolo's involvement, boys, like, is he doing enough? Is his work rate...
No, he only made about 110
metres last night. Work rate's been down all year, hasn't it, Josh?
They wouldn't rush the pack for scrums. They slowed the tempo right down, gave the Raiders all the momentum. Even when the Cowboys had the momentum, they were slowing it down.
Now, I've got to say, well, the Raiders really slowed that game down last night, I thought.
Well done,
Cowboy
Ricky
Josh.
Stewart and his men.
I thought they played really well, the Raiders. I thought they had Joseph Tarpany, certainty to be in the New Zealand side, I would have thought. Absolute certainty. Geez, good player. 1353-53 is the open line number. Time now to say good morning for the first time to Tanya with the scratchings around New South Wales. Morning, Tan.
Morning, all. Racing in New South Wales today is at Tamworth and Nowra. Let's start with Tamworth. The weather is fine. The track a good 4. The rail is true. Penetrometer 4.82 and 25 scratchings. Race 1, take out 15, Swiglars. 16, Indigo Moon. 17, Have a Go Joe. And 18, Whisper De Lovely. 15, 16, 17 and 18. Race 2, number 12, Lady Sebago. 16, Sydney Approach. 17, Faustine. And 18, Arctic Warrior. 12, 16, 17 and 18. To race 3, take out 7, King Kestrel. And 8, Miss Denari. 7 and 8. Race 4, number 1, Dalmatia Prince. Take out number 1. Out of race 5, number 4, Tycoon Street. 12, Redraw. And 13, Being Bitten. 4, 12 and 13. Race 6, number 1, Prada Miss. 2, Ruby May. 6, Stradance. And 7, Fashion Model. 1, 2, 6 and 7. Race 7, number 6, Mishani Honcho. 14, Tears in Heaven. 17, Unbiased. And 18, Present Sense. 6, 14, 17 and 18. And race 8, number 10, Anna's Joy. 13, Tiara Star. And 16, Jay-Z Nick. 10, 13 and 16 out of race 8 at Tamworth. Nowra, the weather is overcast. The track a good 4, the rail true, and 8 scratchings. The first race is clear. Race 2, take out 2, Glowing Cat, and 8, Daydream Explorer, 2 and 8. Race 3, number 5, Denman Flyer, take out number 5. The fourth is clear. Go to race 5, take out 6, Nicoya, and 13, Uberlux. 6 and 13. Race 6, number 10, Glistening Light. Number 10 from race 6. And race 7, number 1, Hierarchal. And 4, Midnight Mission. 1 and 4 out of race 7 at Nowra.
Thanks, Tan. Tamworth Cup Day. It's a good meeting up there at Tamworth Day. Full fields all day. The first of our specials, race 3, number 3, Clever Nick, to upset the favourite Vineyard. Race 3, number 3, Clever Nick. Down to the last, race 8. Number 7, In Good Time, very hard to beat. In a terrific Tamworth Cup, I like Sun Craze over Plucky Girl, but gee, it's a good field. 8 from 7 in race 7 at the Tamworth Cup. probably the best Tamworth Cup I've seen, Jim.
There you go.
Down to Nowra race one, number two, Want to Bolt. Very impressive first up. I think he can beat the favourite, Magic Dust. Race one, number two, Want to Bolt. And then down to race three, number two, Cosmic Cameo, trained by Gary Portelli. Sting out of the ground will suit him. Race three, number two, Cosmic Cameo.
Bit of value there, $4.40, and Want to Bolt is at $5 as well. You've gone a little bit wider today, Raymond. It's probably been a little bit of a disappointing
lean trot
over the last month or so. Can't go past the A-League. Berisha, Barbarousis, that's from Scooter, talking about these marquee signings, the imports. The imports that have...
It was compelling TV last night, wasn't it? Especially in the extra time.
I couldn't believe it. Terry Antonis... 15 seconds to go. Anyway, he redeemed himself.
One of the great goals.
Redeemed
himself. Saw two great goals that week in Windows semi-finals.
And as a result of that, great setup for the grand final. Up at Newcastle, McDonald Jones Stadium, and it'll be a full house up there.
How many can actually hold in? Can they hold 30?
Ooh,
not quite.
28? I don't think it's quite...
28,000,
Not quite 30. Should work out. Who's going to be the favourites in that game?
Good point.
Now that they're playing at home, let's try and get a...
Going for the Jets,
though.
I know Kenya is. Go the Jets.
Here we go. 235 the Jets, 365 the draw, Melbourne victory, 280. So slight favourites, the Newcastle Jets. We'll get a tip out of Robbie Slater a little bit later as well. 8 o'clock news time here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Mother Stevens Labor's promise to axe the tampon tax if it wins government, calling GST on women's sanitary products unfair and discriminatory. Australian women spend around $300 million on sanitary products each year, with each item attracting the 10% GST because they're not considered necessities, according to the opposition. However, products such as incontinence pads, sunscreen, nicotine patches, and even Viagra are exempt from the tax. Labor's Catherine King.
They cost women over $300 million each year, $30 million of which is the GST, and I think it's well and truly time this tax was axed on tampons.
Two 16-year-old boys have been arrested after a police chase in Melbourne's outer suburbs. The teenagers had allegedly been involved in a number of incidents over a period of 4 days, including police pursuits, driving off without paying for petrol, and erratic driving. Officers spotted the car at 1:30 this morning at Casey in the southeast. A pursuit ensued through Hampton Park, Narre Warren, Doveton and Berwick before the vehicle was stopped and the teens arrested. In central Queensland, another four teenagers have led police on a 400-kilometre chase in an allegedly stolen vehicle, racing down highways before they were caught in the state's southeast. The car was allegedly stolen from Rockhampton early yesterday and first spotted by police north of Roma just before 11. Police tried but failed to stop the car using road spikes along the Carnarvon Highway. The car later allegedly hit a police car when it made a U-turn in front of it on the Leichhardt Highway about 2 hours later. And the chase came to an end about half an hour later west of Chinchilla when the teens abandoned the vehicle. An elderly man's died in a single-vehicle crash in Tasmania's southeast. Paramedics were called to the scene at Dodgers Ferry, but the driver and sole occupant, an 80-year-old man from Lewisham, couldn't be saved. Early investigations show the man might have suffered from an unrelated medical issue, and a report's being prepared for the coroner. A teenager's jumped from the fourth level of a Gold Coast car park in an alleged attempt to escape arrest. Police say they were called to a department store at Robina just before 4 yesterday afternoon to speak to the 19-year-old about a number of thefts, but he ran off. He was found hiding nearby after jumping with a suspected broken arm and ankle and a cut to his head. The teen was taken to Gold Coast University Hospital. The World Food Programme says it's time for a regional summit on the growing humanitarian crisis in South America's Venezuela. There are warnings today that the number of people getting out of the strife-torn country heading towards the same levels as we've been seeing in Syria. This from the BBC's Candice Piat.
WFP's regional director said a summit was urgently needed for governments to discuss how to work together to handle the growing migrant crisis. He said those fleeing Venezuela needed protection. They were increasingly vulnerable to xenophobia, trafficking and prostitution. Earlier this week, the World Health Organization called on Latin America to act, saying Venezuela was seeing the largest increases in malaria cases in the world.
This is Air News. Rugby League and a late injury to New South Wales State of Origin star Josh Dugan has marred Cronulla's scrappy 10-9 NRL win over Gold Coast. Halfback Chad Townsend stepped up to sink a 79th-minute field goal and seal a rare victory over the Titans at a wet and greasy Seabus Super Stadium last night. But the Sharks will be sweating on Dugan after the Cronulla number one went down with a suspected left leg injury moments before Townsend potted his second field goal to ice back-to-back wins. In the other match last night, Canberra upset the Cowboys 18-8. Adelaide have cruised to a 48-point victory over Gold Coast, but the AFL win came at a cost with captain Taylor Walker suffering a hamstring injury and wingman David Mackay hurting his leg. Walker kicked two goals before hurting his left hamstring late in the second term last night and set out the second half of the Crows' 16-14-1-10 to 9-8-62 victory in front of over 44,000 fans in Adelaide. In last night's other matches, Hawthorn took a 35-point win over St Kilda and the GWS Giants were 34-point winners over Brisbane. To football, the Graham Arnold era at Sydney FC's over and the man himself is equal parts devastated, proud and utterly exhausted after holding it all together in his final 2 months. Back-to-back A-League titles proved a step too far for his record-breaking Sky Blues, who fell 3-2 to Melbourne Victory in extra time at Allianz Stadium last night. The man who scored victories, Terry Antonis, was over the moon when he spoke with Fox Sports.
We had a game plan. All the boys stuck together with one team. Everyone, the coaches, the staff, the off, the board, all the players on the pitch gave it all tonight to get into the finals. So.
Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Pinot Noir. By De Bortley, of course. Here's the traffic.
The King Living Autumn Sale ends soon. Save up to 50% off selected designs. Why buy ordinary furniture when you can come home to King Furniture? Don't miss out. Final days. We've got delays to the airport. It's heavy on Marsh Street and Airport Drive approaching the International Terminal. Starting to build on the M5 East approaching Marsh Street as well. The tunnels, including Cross City, Lane Cove and Sydney Harbour, are accident and breakdown free, and it's a nice run north to the Central Coast on the M1. AMF is changing to Zone Bowling. New name, but still the champions of fun. All of the things you love about them will stay exactly the same. For more info, visit zonebowling.com. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Hello, Australia. It's Mike Joyce, and I'm here to tell you that this year's Kentucky Derby is going to be a blockbuster. World-conquering Irish trainer Aidan O'Brien brings in Mendelsohn, hot off an extraordinary win in Dubai.
But Bob Baffert's unbeaten Justify has just launched himself into the limelight.
Will history be made in the run for the roses with the first European winner?
Or will we see the rise of a new American superstar?
The Kentucky Derby, live from Churchill Downs. Next Sunday morning across the Sky Racing Network.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
G'day, Laurie Daly here. Ever wanted to know what's going on in an NRL player's head? Well, now the Tab app gives you exclusive tips, insights and analysis this NRL season, thanks to new NRL previews featuring myself. So get ahead of the game every game this footy season.
Download the Tab app and access new NRL previews today. Tab, we love a bet. Tab previews available for account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
It's partly cloudy. There's a good chance today, unfortunately, of a couple of showers, but only 1 to 4 mil, so not too much rain about, but we're only heading for a top temperature of 21 hour. Summer that never ended has ended, yeah, I think, yeah. James. What's the current temperature at Toongabby? And we better go home to Tamworth for Tamworth Cup Day.
Of course. Actually, good part of the world, Toongabby. Mm. Yeah, 13 degrees.
It's cool.
With an expected max of 22 degrees. And today up at Tamworth for the Cup, partly cloudy and a maximum temperature of 23 degrees.
Out the back. Hoggle was screaming.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, looking forward to the next hour. Zorba very shortly talking all things rugby league. Michael Hawks will come along. A couple of winners yesterday for Team Hawks out there at Hawkesbury. We'll take your calls on the open line as well, 1353 53, the open line number. And the Event Cinemas Quiz, courtesy of Prakash and the team in there at George Street. Score update.
10-6, James.
10-6, there you go. Lots of people having their say. around marquee players, given Andrew Bogut has signed for the Sydney Kings. It's a huge signing. Paul on Twitter says, great marquee player moves. Well, for me, boys, it's when Greg Inglis moved from the Storm to the Rabbitohs and we went on to win a premiership after a 43-year wait. That's Paul at Huskisson. And I remember when Greg Inglis first went there. It might have been 2011. And he started talking about premierships. No one had talked about premierships at South Sydney for a long, long 40 time.
40 years almost, yeah.
And I know there was changes in coaches and changes in personnel, but when you get a guy like Greg Inglis, a winner, he changes the whole demeanour of your club. So very interesting. Keep them coming in. You got one there?
A couple. This is from Dave from Penshurst. Morning, gents. Best marquee signings. Dennis Sawyer and the boys to WSC with Mr. Packer would have to be. He's right. When he basically got the cream of Australian cricket and world cricket.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they were
and did it under the cover of darkness too, didn't he?
Yeah. How he managed to pull that one off. I suppose Super League was another example of it happening, but that was extraordinary.
And you've got to read the rest of Dave from Penshurst's SMS.
Also, Anakin Skywalker, signed by the dark side, definitely a game changer. Dave from Penshurst.
That's a very good point, Dave.
That's our own little book for potential prize, wouldn't it?
Penshurst.
Considering you're now in charge of this as well.
We wouldn't have any trilogy, or we've got the six movies everywhere. It's a
history
whole franchise. A complete change of cinematic history. Now, we've got some issues down at the Manly Club. Zorba is there. He's here every Sunday. And
put the pads on, Zorb.
Yeah, always. And we do appreciate it. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, boys.
Morning, Pete.
Fancy. Mate, it hasn't abated. Where is the leadership from this Manly Club? Where's the CEO, Lyle Gorman? Why is it that Trent Barrett has been forced to pretty much handle this all on his own?
Well, I think it's just a matter of it continuing in the media rather than, I mean, it's all done and dusted as far as Manly are concerned. It was all done and dusted a week ago. Jackson has been welcomed in to the fold still. I mean, he attends all dinners. Players went to see him play yesterday. To all the players, the whole thing is over and done with, but it just continues in the media. I mean, it's got to end soon. Hopefully this week we can get on with doing what the club needs to do now, and that's drag itself back from where it is, and it's not in a position where it used to be in, and not a position we want to be in.
It won't end until we get a side on Tuesday. Will Jackson Hastings, is Jackson Hastings available for selection?
I understand he is, and I've read that he is. He played yesterday for Blacktown Workers, and I watched that game. You called it. I think he went okay.
Yep.
I think he's much too good for that grade.
Is it a happy club right now, Zorb? And I say that because obviously when you're losing, the weight of your world's on your shoulders. But Trent Barrett certainly looks like a man under pressure, not enjoying the job.
Well, he's a young coach that, you know, hasn't gone through anything like this before. So it's foreign to him. I think he's handling it pretty well. Mm. He's handled the pressure really well. A couple of times he's almost bubbled over. I've said to him, mate, you know, you're in a job you love. You're lucky to be in a job you love. Just get on with it the best of your ability. And that's all the advice that you can give someone like Trent, who's done it all in the game. Players love playing for him. They've got to start showing it, I think.
All right, mate, let's move forward. The top 25 that were announced last night, well, the 25 candidates that could potentially go into the Hall of Fame, they're going to announce six at this glittering function later in the year. My first thought on that was, how on earth are they going to get those 25 down to six? It's an arduous task.
Well, it is. The original 100, there are some players in there that I find surprising. And rather than mention them, I'll mention the players that I would have had somewhere in the list so far, and that would be Ben Kennedy, who I thought was, just lifted Newcastle to a premiership, along with Joey Johns, Ben Elias, Dick Fournette, Max Krillich, David Gillespie. I saw Ken Carney play, and I won't criticise Ken Carney. He's no longer with us, so that wouldn't be fair, but certainly Krillich and Elias would be the equal or not better hookers than he was, that Elwyn Walters was. So there's always going to be a debate over players that have missed out. I mean, Brett Camorley's missed out. So too has Nathan Hindmarsh, players like that. So rather than criticise, I'd rather just applaud.
Mm.
And I think the top 25 is fantastic. A lot of people look at Wally O'Connell and say, well, what's he doing there? Well, Wally O'Connell was Kangaroo captain in 1948, the youngest Kangaroo captain. He was appointed Manly's captain coach the year after and had to sit a season out because they had residential rules, and had the pleasure of going to his home in the eastern suburbs shortly before he passed away last year. Just an icon of the game, Wally, and he was the man that really put the finishing touches on a very young teenage Bob Fulton when he first went to Manly. And who would have imagined that that Fulton would become an immortal, and that he got the touch of class from his old mentor, the late, great Wally O'Connell.
My late father used to always rave about Wally O'Connell, Sorby, a great ball player and football that he was. Hey, so probably unfair question, but of that 25, who's Peter Peters' top six to go into the Hall of Fame?
Oh, wow. That's without any prior notice. I one of the first players that I would put on that list would be, I don't want to just, Mark Graham would be one of them. For
yes,
sure.
Yes.
Without a doubt. I think then that I'd probably go for Bobby Lindner, who was very underrated. I think Petro Sivanisiva was one of the finest front rowers we've seen. Steve Menzies, as the top drawing try forward in the history of the game, would have to go close. So would the old master of deception, Cliffy Lyons. Also, probably in that list, somebody like Wally O'Connell.
Yep.
And I'm surprised that that probably someone from the long ago past is not in that list. I don't know where are the greats from 1908? Are they? What list are they in? With Dally Messenger and Dave Brown from the 30s.
They're in the Hall of Fame, I think.
Yeah, they're already there. They're presumed, but you're right. And that makes it really difficult because
it's
the process. What's your thoughts on the process? There's been a screening committee, and now there's going to be a selection committee. And for those players who played from 1908 to 1908 to 1950, no one's seen them.
No.
Makes it hard.
It does make it hard. And look, as someone that's been, you know, in love with this concept, I was at the Sydney Cricket Ground working at the time at Rugby League Week when the concept started. Mm. I was just in love with it from the start. I still have the four bottles of port in the case that the original port came out with, the first four immortals, Fulton, Gaznier, Raper and Churchill.
Mm.
I gave that to the Hall of Fame in England, actually, that Mike Stevenson started at the home of rugby league, where it started, in Huddersfield, the George Hotel. It was a magnificent day, sun shining. They were told months before to get themselves in shape that they'd be photographed in their Australian jerseys. I've never seen four prouder men than Fulton, Gaznier, Raper and Churchill on that sparkling day in the middle of the Sydney Cricket Ground. The late, great John O'Grady took the photo, which is very near and dear to my heart.
I remember that photo, front page of a Rugby League Week, classic photo. Hey, I don't know what was more impressive, the Anzac Day celebrations or the performance of St George Illawarra. Can you split them?
Oh, look, firstly, a salute to the NRL for Anzac Day, and to the players, and to the fans. 41,000 at Allianz and the Dragons Roosters. What a sparkling display by the Dragons, and then a sellout at Amy Park at night, and it was eerie, beautifully done for the Storm versus the Warriors, and what about the Storm, 50-10 on the Warriors, significant day. It was dignity, respect, and honour shown on an uplifting day. I don't want to be critical of anything to do with Anzac Day, and I would never do that, but I just think that Anzac Day is a day that we remember on that day, and those two great spectacles on Anzac Day were magnificent, but it fell flat after that. the following night at ANZ Stadium with a paltry crowd in that big cavernous stadium. I don't think it did it justice. And then we've had it at the suburban grounds and continuing on. I just think that it's for Anzac Day, and that's the day that we should throw everything at it. And in other games, show some respect somewhere. But I think to have the ceremony, it's got to be on Anzac Day. It's just my view. I am not in any way saying that we should decline it in any way. But I think on the day, it's magnificent. After the day, I think it falls a little bit flat. Your views?
Well, we've had a few SMSs and tweets of a similar theme. So I think the NRL probably just trying to give all clubs
and their
supporters
a chance to celebrate
Anzac Day, because every game can't be on Anzac Day.
And a lot of the clubs have their own Anzac Day merchandise, like the jersey and so forth. So, you know, without getting too commercial around Anzac Day, it's a way to remind people that is available.
Okay, back to St George.
Yes. Yeah.
I think we could be seeing a first in the game, guys. I can't recall this. It hasn't happened before. We could see a first in rugby league from St George Illawarra, where all eligible players in their starting pack could be chosen for New South Wales in Origin. Paul Vaughan.
Yep.
Cameron McGuinness.
Yep.
Tyson Frizzell.
Yes.
Tarek Sims and Jack DeBellin.
Wow.
They're all well in the mix. I think they should all be in. Only the redhead from St Helens, James Graham, is not in line, simply because he's not eligible. But what a coup that would be for the Dragons. Their entire forward pack that's eligible to be playing for New South Wales. Incredible, and would give us the teamwork and the understanding to maybe go ahead and do something. And then in the back line, you've got Ben Hunt, who should be a walk-up start for Queensland. Ewan Aitken, who's a great chance for New South Wales. So they could have seven reps in Origin.
What do you make of that, Jim? Six St George forwards.
Totally agree with Cameron McGuinness being the option. Tarek Sims, Boyd Cordner is going to be the left second row. Whether you want to take Tarek Sims onto the bench, a left second row, does he beat Wade Graham?
He had an impact there in the Roosters.
Who's in the better form, Boyd Cordner or Tarek Sims?
He had an impact, didn't he, Tarek Sims on Wednesday?
Who'll get picked?
Tarek Sims is so far ahead of Boyd Cordner's form's down. I think he's struggling at the Roosters, like the rest of the Roosters back. I mean, if he's going to be picked, he's picked on form. On reputation.
Yeah. Now, what about Chris Butler? He's about 6'10", that referee.
And he's got a smile on his face. He loves doing what he's doing. And he's got enough faith in his ability not to always use the crutch of the referees now, the increasingly boring bunker. The majority of refs are not game to award a try on what they see. They're going upstairs just for the safety net of it and boring everyone to death. But Butler, like, I see him joking with players on the run before a scrum's packed. He's got his little asides with the players, but when he's got to, he awards on what he sees, and I thought that was great last night from him.
I have watched him closely because I was introduced to him a few years ago, and I don't disagree with you. I think he's a good referee that's been an assistant for some time and is now doing a good
job as a lead
referee as well. Righto, mate, we've got to get your zapper out of you. Only the one game today, Parramatta versus the West Tigers. I can't believe that Parramatta are outsiders at $2.05. The Tigers, $1.80.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, Parramatta beat an out-of-form Manly last week. I think the Tigers are specials today.
Ooh.
I think they'll go on with the form that they've shown. And I think they're a good bet at 1-12 to beat the Eels today.
Yeah, I like that. Tigers 1-12, $3, giving some value for the listeners there.
Yeah, some value there. Just quickly, boys, is the Kiwi Conrad Harrell the happiest player in the NRL? I mean, he's a dynamo, but he's mistake-riddled as much as he is brilliant. But through it all, he's always smiling, fist-pumping his mates, trying to lift them up. I love it when he scores a try and blows his trademark kiss to his mum in New Zealand. More Conrad Harrell, please.
Oh, I tell you what, did you see when he hit that charge last night?
And he got up straight
Scott
away.
Scott Sorensen, and he jumped
to
up.
Check on him.
The referee stopped, he jumped up, turned around and checked Scott Sorensen straight away. I thought, oh, well done.
That was his hit, wasn't it? It hit Sorensen's side of his head, I think.
Oh, whatever it was, he was out.
It was very good and great sportsmanship.
Yep.
I like him. I love him, actually. I love watching him play.
He's fantastic. They get him on those shows a couple of times on Fox League.
He's funny,
he's got a sense of humour.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Good on you, Zorb. We'll speak again next week.
Okay,
see you, Pete.
Bye.
There he is, Peter Peters. Give us your thoughts on what he had to say. 1353, the open line number. Interesting to say, he is under pressure, Trent Barrett. And that's comes with team performance and it comes with the off-field stuff as well. So
glad you didn't bring up Henry Perinara.
Well, just to let people know, Ray texted us last night, Zorba and I, and said, gee, I really like Henry Perinara as a ref, and he's really impressed me. And
did I actually say it that way?
Zorba and I suggested otherwise.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
And as a result,
shred.
No, what about that? As a result, you then polled other people.
No.
Yes, you did.
I texted two other learned friends.
Yeah, well, that's you polled other people.
One was demonstrably on your side with a no, exclamation mark, 28 times.
Right. The Good morning, Buzz.
Geez, you nailed that.
Hang on, and who?
No, I'm not giving away my sort. The other was on my side, although he did admit the coaches don't like Henry Perinara.
Hello, Dave Riccio. No? Well, there you go. 1353-53, the Avaline number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Michael Hawks, a double for him at Hawkesbury yesterday.
Punters, it's Sky Shout at selected venues this Saturday afternoon. Come along to Bankstown Sports or Wendy Leagues and enjoy a platter lunch courtesy of Sky. Plus, there'll be merchandise giveaways. Enjoy a punt with your mates on Lord Mayor's Cup Day and let Sky take care of lunch. That's Bankstown Sports and Wendy Leagues this Saturday afternoon for Sky Shout.
Mum, sometimes you have to think like a kid.
That's easy for you.
So seeing our April sale is on at Bingley, with huge savings on TVs, fridges, washers and more, and it's school holidays.
Yes?
We'll have a holiday expo at the same time.
That's thinking like a kid.
With free activity packs and chances to win prizes, like a Google Home Mini, Luna Park ride passes and Bingley gift cards.
That's thinking like a kid.
The April Holiday Expo sale, on now at Bingley.
You bring your kids and I'll bring Lionel.
Conditions apply.
G'day, Laurie Daly here. Ever wanted to know what's going on in an NRL player's head? Well, now the Tab app gives you exclusive tips, insights and analysis this NRL season, thanks to new NRL previews featuring myself. So get ahead of the game every game this footy season.
Download the Tab app and access new NRL previews today. Tab, we love a bet. Tab previews available for account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
Penrith Mazda, awarded Mazda Master Dealer in 2017. With over 300 vehicles over 5 acres, you're sure to find the Mazda you're looking for. Right now, get a $1,000 go bonus on the whole range of 2017 CX-3, CX-5 and CX-9s. Plus 12 months free rego, CTP and stamp duty on all CX-3s. Conditions apply. Penrith Mazda, your family owned and operated Mazda dealer. Mulgar Road, Penrith, just off the M4, MD18808.
It's somewhat from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat a length clear from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat hanging on. He wins the Doncaster, a half length to Happy Clapper.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgar Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. I loved Hawkesbury standalone, so I do every year, but I think this man would have really enjoyed it yesterday afternoon. The winner with Glenall in the first of the stakes races, a Hawkesbury Gold Rush. Then they backed it up with the Hawkesbury Gold Cup with Kingsguard. And Michael Hawks, the trainer, has been good enough to join us this morning, bright and early. Michael, good morning and congratulations on the stakes double. And it's a good race day, isn't it, the Hawkesbury race day? Great feel to it. Good morning, Michael.
Morning, boys. How are you going? First of all, thank you very much. And second of all, Ray, it's definitely good for racing, I feel, personally, to have a standalone. Obviously, we had Hawkesbury yesterday and Scone's coming up in a couple of weeks' time. But, you know, for these provincial clubs to have a big day like this, it really means a lot. And, you know, obviously prize money's increasing all the time. And that's what we can really ask for these sort of meetings when the clubs that put them on. They do a great job.
Yeah, and turnover's not affected either because
they charged
in again yesterday. Speaking of King's squad, interesting. Brendan Abdullah rode on Tuesday, Michael, and said, oh, gave me a good feel, then gets the ride on Wednesday. But from what I understand, that's not the way that Kingsguard normally trains. Is it a change in the horse? How did that come about?
Jimmy, he's a funny thing. Look, he's an old war horse, and Brendan rode him Tuesday and rode him in the gallop. And generally, as a rule, I don't usually put
Brenton on the rides that he's on Saturday because I don't want him knowing more than me. But, you know, that's I put him on old King's Guard on Tuesday, and he actually worked very good, and he went to the line solid, and Brenton did come back and said, geez, this horse is flying. And I said, well, he is. He said, where's he? And I said, Saturday. He said, am I on him? I said, oh, well, I don't really know yet. I can't tell you that information. You just got to ride the horse in the morning. So we had a little bit of a chuckle together, and obviously Brenton was booked, and, you know, rest is history. He rode him outstanding yesterday, and he just tracked up the leader, Ecuador, and peeled out at the right time. And to be fair, it's been a bit of an up-and-down ride for Brenton the last sort of 5 weeks since he won the slipper. He's had a few outs, and, you know, we've had some good talking, and that's what it's about. It's about team, and, you know, he rode the polished race yesterday, and I know he's had his critics over the last sort of 5 weeks, as I said, but that's what we do. We stick solid and got the result done.
Yeah, got the stakes double yesterday. Hey, Michael, just with Kingsguard, horses can find their niche in racing, so to speak. It seems for Kingsguard, anything over 1,600 metres or the old mile, he's very effective.
He is, mate. When we got him from Windsor Park, you know, they had high hopes of him as a younger horse, and obviously he'd been a three-year-old when he came to us, and they sort of wanted to go to Queensland, and we just sort of played it down a bit and said, look, send him over. We'll try and win some races in Sydney and see where the journey takes us rather than really throw him in the deep end, so to speak. So they did that, and look, he's been a fantastic horse for them. He's always been thereabouts, as I said in the pre-race interview. He's only a length or two off his best. I think with this horse, he really shines when he just gets left to his own devices. He's a quirky horse. He's a funny horse. You've really got to get him into a rhythm. Mm. And even, you know, the couple of starts before here in Sydney, he's just over raced a touch, and he just hasn't really hit the line as good as we thought he could. But yesterday, as I said, it just panned out. Brenton stalked the leader. Tempo's a massive thing in racing, and you've just got to keep that tempo, you know, going. And he's a well, one fine example, just if anything goes wrong, he just doesn't hit the line as good as what he should. But yesterday, he actually put him away the last sort of 50-100 metres, which was probably the best. And honestly, I think since we've had him, I personally think, as your dad and I spoke last night on the phone on the way home in the car, it's probably his best win that we've had, or best run, I should say. Not win, because he won, just how everything panned out, and he really wanted to attack the line. So he's been a bit of a work in progress, but he's an old soldier. He just loves racing.
Mm. Glenn Orr, Michael, appreciated being back in class, I suppose. Appreciated the blinkers being on. Maybe not appreciated being three wide, but got the job done.
Yeah, Jimmy. It's not too bad. They're obviously drawing a wide barrier at Hawkesbury for that 1,100-metre run there. And look, barriers do win races, but Brenton rode the right race once again. He was going to have cover, and he ended up getting in. Then he got pushed wide. Obviously, speed in the wind sort of kept up the inside. And if anything, as Brenton said, it probably gave the horse more confidence by that horse being on his hind quarter with the blinkers on, because he did hear it. And he wanted to attack the line. And you know, even going back to when we first got him, when he won, I think it was benchmark 90 or 95 here at Rose Hill, first up for us. He won super that day and sort of really attacked the line. But look, as he's got older, blinkers went on. He's been running in good races or Group 1 races and dropping back to a stakes level. And, yes, he's been placed, I think, a couple of times at stakes level. But yesterday, just everything panned out. And hopefully that just sort of switches his mind on a little bit more so we can get an extra bit out of him.
Michael, Glenn Orr and Kingsguard, where to next for them, mate?
Ray, honestly, probably Scone for Kingsguard at this stage. We haven't cancelled it in 100%, but it's a likely option. Given it's a big track and it's a mile, and he does really appreciate the mile. Glenn Orr maybe on the same day in the stakes race. I think it's the Oratensia, the 1,100 there.
Yep.
Or maybe Brisbane the same day in the Group 1. So, look, we're just sort of humming and hawing about him. He's more a fresher sort of horse, and it's probably might just creep up a little bit too much on him.
Right.
Hence, that's why we've spaced his runs. But it all depends on how they pulled up. I'm at stables now, and they've pulled up well this morning, but it's the next day or two that will really determine how they are and where we go. Mm.
Latest news, Esther Jarb and the Everest?
Well, Esther Jarb's great. Can't complain. She's feeling really, really good as far as the Everest go. No news on that. Haven't heard a thing, and we're worried about her getting her back. So, look, it's hard for three-year-olds
or especially, you know, two-year-olds going to three-year-olds and taking on that sort of company. I know we've seen it with She Will Reign. But,
yeah.
Whatever she does, she's definitely going to be better as a four-year-old. And, look, whether she hits those sort of peaks early, we may just concentrate on the three-year-old races with her. And but, look, we've ruled nothing out. Nothing's on the table yet. We, you know, she's having a great spell. We haven't even looked at it. We'll wait until she gets back into work, and then we'll assess sort of where we go and what we do. But,
and you've still got Chautauqua too, Michael. You've still got Chautauqua
in
the background.
Yeah, Chautauqua's there too, Ray. Everyone's forgotten about him at the moment, which is quite good. you know, he'll have one more go, and he's out there spelling and, at the moment. But, you know, if he comes back, and sure, you know, if he happened to run in an Everest, if he was performing like he used to and happened to win that, I think they'd rip the grandstand off of him, to be honest.
Yeah, they would, yeah. Hey, look, Michael, I reckon they almost ripped the grandstand off a couple of times at Hawkesbury yesterday. It was such a big day. The crowd was terrific. And those two stakes races, great for the stable and Brent and Abdullah. Thanks for joining us this morning, Michael.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Cheers.
Thanks so much.
There is Michael Hawks, a couple of winners yesterday out there at Hawkesbury. Mm. And, yeah, interesting about how he thinks Estajar might play out with the Everest. Jimmy, Origin 2 is on Sunday the 24th of June. Will Origin players play NRL the previous weekend? I note that Manly play Saints on the 16th of June. So if Origin players are out and Saints have seven players in Origin, that would be good for Manly! Exclamation mark.
People
regards
are quick,
from
aren't they?
Tom.
People are quick to pick those things up. Yeah.
That's a really good question. I presume no. I presume no, they don't miss the weekend. That's the whole point of having it on a Sunday, that you don't impact on your competition so much. But we might get some clarification on that. Good question, Tom. 1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
Another quick success story about radio. A brand manager needed to promote a new source. A yummy new source.
Yum.
She knew that, on average, Australians listen to the radio for 2 hours and 10 minutes each day. So she ran a tasty radio ad telling everyone how
yum
her new brand of was. People heard the ads in there. They heard them in the... And while they made...
Dinner.
Soon the
yum
new brand of was on
dinner
tables everywhere. All thanks to radio. Alive with listeners, alive with results. Visit radioalive.com.au.
Punters, it's Sky Shout at selected venues this Saturday afternoon. Come along to Fig Tree Hotel, Winoonabulli RSL, West Illawarra or Bay Hotel Motel Bonnells Bay and enjoy a platter lunch courtesy of Sky. Plus, there'll be merchandise giveaways. Enjoy a punt with your mates on Lord Mayor's Cup Day and let Sky take care of lunch. That's Fig Tree Hotel, Winoonabulli RSL, West Illawarra and Bay Hotel Motel Bonnells Bay this Saturday afternoon for Sky Shout.
Two games to one in this best of seven. Take back the home court. Bellinelli for Simmons, who throws it down.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
He was okay. Couldn't play big minutes.
When the red light flashes, James. Oh. You think we'd have learned after 8 years?
Here I was, having a go at you last break. What do you know, Ray? Making mistakes. Anyway, it's good to know we're human here, like you needed reminding.
Before we go to a call, can I just read this one? This is from Jason at Windsor. I love this one. Best marquee players, whispering death Michael Holding. Played a season of Sheffield Shield for Tasmania, 82-83. Imagine the net sessions. Imagine facing him.
Oh,
he read a
goodness
story about that season. Michael Holding got the thickest of edges in the first over, a game that was given not out. He didn't react. At the end of the over, he got his hat off the umpire and said, at least you can count to six. And Jason agrees with Zorba Re-Anzac Day. A lot of people do, actually.
Yeah, it's interesting the point that's come up for there. 1353-53, just before we get to callers. G'day, boys. Back in 1967, Kevin Ryan, going from St George to Canterbury, was a massive move. And more recently, Alessandro Del Piero going to Sydney FC. Cheers, Peaky Pete. Yeah, good nominations for their marquee. That's what we're looking for today. Keep the nominations coming in. 1353-53, the open line number. Liz is on the line. G'day, Liz.
Good morning, Jimmy. Just going on about Anzac Day, the one thing I do like that they do is bring both teams out together, just like the English EPL.
Yes.
And instead of, you know, one team coming out, then the other, I like that they came out on the field together and then line up. I like that.
You know, the New South Wales Rugby League were doing it in lower grade comps, so the Intrust Super Premiership and below, like Jersey Flegg and Harold Matthews and all that, as a show of respect. I remember playing in the under-11s for Cootamundra, and you used to run out to the middle of the field, shake hands with everyone that's near you, and then go to your spot.
I think that's what they should do. And the other observation was the game you were calling yesterday.
Yes.
No meterage, line marks, no 20, 30, 40 on the field. How disconcerning was that for the players?
That's a good point.
And for the caller, Jim Smith.
I was looking at it thinking, oh, that's a soccer. I could see the imprint of the soccer oval that had been marked. But now that you mention it, I didn't even notice it, Liz, until you brought that up.
Well, I was thinking, have I not noticed it in the lower grades? Is it something standard? But yesterday I just went, wait a minute. Oh, well, sorry. Yesterday when you called it, there was no line markings at all.
Liz,
well,
were the referees giving them back the full 10, do you think?
Good question.
Did they ever?
Good reply.
Very good. You know what? Maybe it was because there was no other game, no game following, a TV game. Maybe it's a... Well, hang on, that was a TV game.
That was a TV game, come on.
You were calling it,
that's
James,
right.
Weren't you? Yeah.
There we go.
You've got too many jobs, James. You're forgetting what you're doing. You're working again this afternoon?
I believe so.
How many jobs?
I'll have to check the diary.
He's working too hard, Liz, isn't he?
Liz, that's a very good point that you make, and I don't have an answer for you. I don't have an answer for you. We'll try and get one before 10 o'clock. We'll ring someone at Belmore and work out what was going
Liz
on.
Liz down
there.
Your potential.
Yeah, Liz is here. Yeah. Liz always gets a triple asterisk. There you go. Good on you, Liz. Appreciate that call. Matt's on the line. I think Matt was our winner. Was he a winner last week or the week before,
Matt?
Matt? Last week, was it?
How are you, Matt?
Yeah, I'm very good. How are you, boys?
Terrific. Really well. What do you got for us?
I got three again.
Yeah?
Not your recent call, the one before that, Sir Del Piero.
Yeah.
Has to be up there, but the two biggest ones I can think of would have to be Michael Jordan when he went to baseball. I don't know if someone said that already.
No.
And when David Beckham went to LA Galaxy.
Oh.
There's a couple of good ones there.
Well, they reckon Michael Jordan bought a bus for the team. Fully kitted out bus.
The baseball team.
The baseball team, yeah, absolutely. And LA Galaxy, this might be a precursor to Andrew Bogut, but I am pretty sure that he got part of revenue of the team. As in, the jerseys you sell with my name on the back, I get a slice of that. Yeah. I'm pretty
sure
that's
sort of the Bogut deal, isn't he?
He's got equity
in the
franchise, And the thing about Bogut, Matt, is that he has been doing a finance course in his time in the NBA. So he's very interested in how he invests his millions and millions of dollars. So he would look at the fine print of that king saying, well, I'll have a look at the balance sheet and say, well, merchandise sales. And he's got the nous to be able to look at that very closely. And I think that's why it made it a really good deal.
Good call, Matt.
For both parties.
To be fair, Mitch from Canberra, I thought I read it earlier, sent a text through marquee signings, David Beckham, LA Galaxy, Michael Jordan to baseball. We just hadn't read that out. But well done, Mitch. Well done, Matt. Getting a little book there, James.
I like the change of tactics from Ray regarding his tips. This goes back to you started a tip, not the favourites. Obviously, he was stung by Jimmy's criticism last week. That's Eagle Eyed Phil, yeah. So he
doesn't miss much Eagle Eyed Phil, does he?
Well, that's why they call him Eagle Eyed Phil. And the other one, of course, there was a number of people who were saying this, but marquee player, are we talking NRL immortal or Manly immortal? This is after Zorba named every Manly player that was available to be nominated.
There's one good marquee player. I forgot about how quickly we forget, Steve. Plug a locket to the Swans.
Oh, yeah.
It was massive.
Yeah, was huge. Morning, boys. Imagine the Hall of Fame if Zorba picked the team. So-and-so from Manly. So-and-so from Manly. And so-and-so and so on. That's Craig from Tamworth. Very good. Enjoy the cup today, Craig. Hope you're going out for that one. 13-53-53, the open line number.
Better call for quiz.
Yeah. Just an update on that score, right?
10-6.
So if you want to be a part of it, it's a VMAX double pass, courtesy of Event Cinemas. So call now if you'd like to be a part of the quiz, 1353 53. And yes, Ray, we will throw in some CDs, courtesy of Sony Music as well.
Hello, Australia. It's Mike Joyce, and I'm here to tell you that this year's Kentucky Derby is going to be a blockbuster. World-conquering Irish trainer Aidan O'Brien brings in Mendelsohn, hot off an extraordinary win in Dubai.
But Bob Baffert's unbeaten Justify has just launched himself into the limelight.
Will history be made in the run for the roses with the first European winner?
Or will we see the rise of a new American superstar?
The Kentucky Derby, live from Churchill Downs, next Sunday morning across the Sky Racing Network.
Mum, sometimes you have to think like a kid.
That's easy for you.
So, seeing our April sale is on at Bingley, with huge savings on TVs, fridges, washers and more, and it's school holidays.
Yes?
We'll have a holiday expo at the same time.
That's thinking like a kid.
With free activity packs and chances to win prizes, like a Google Home Mini, Luna Park ride passes and Bingley gift cards.
That's thinking like a kid.
The April Holiday Expo sale, on now at Bingley.
You bring your kids and I'll bring Lionel.
Conditions apply.
The mighty All Blacks shelled by Ireland for the first time in history. Their American dream has come true.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Cass has gone all professional on us. We've got a live read here now for this event cinemas. Midnight Oil, 1984. It's the story of one of Australia's biggest bands whose music galvanised the generation and inspired the power of music to help change the world. It features the biggest hits from some of their legendary shows and gives you an access all areas pass to see the band behind the scenes. Midnight Oil, 1984. It's an up close and personal look at the iconic rock band seen on the big screen for the first time. Get your tickets. May 10 to 13. May 10 to 13. Screenings at, you guessed it, Event Cinemas, George Street, right now. So do that. That'll be good. You ever seen Midnight Oil live?
I haven't. We had a chance. We were walking through the streets of Paris last year, and we walked past...
Hang on. You could have seen Midnight Oil in Paris, well,
we
and you
past,
said no.
We walked past this... this concert, well, I didn't know what it was, and there's a big sign, Midnight Oil, live tonight. And I said, that can't be Midnight Oil. And they were on their world, their comeback world tour. They were in Paris.
And you brushed them. Where'd you go that night?
We went to Moulin Rouge.
Oh, fair enough.
We were booked into Moulin Rouge.
Fair enough. Actually, I accept that.
Was actually outstanding. So
was it? There you go.
Really good, yeah.
A number of Aussie girls go over there dancing to Moulin Rouge.
I would imagine that.
Yeah.
We were sitting right next to, shall I tell the story, Tan, right next to the front stage, where and out comes the water thing, which has all the pythons in it, and a lady gets in the water.
Right.
And I was literally right next to it. It was on my shoulder.
Yeah.
And one of the pythons is trying to get out of it. And I couldn't move because you're so hemmed in. I mean, if this thing gets out, I'm gone.
How are you with snakes?
Oh, no way. In the world.
Okay. Right.
These things were huge. Anyway,
not the kind of buzz you were thinking you were going to get at the Moulin Rouge, was it,
Ray? Really good night. Yeah,
there you go.
Good fun. Anyway.
Right, you're player one.
Okay, is that Mitch? Mitch, you there?
I'm here, boys.
Yeah, hey, best of luck, Mitch. Well, we've got the fight back now. I'm down 10-6, Mitch, so here we go. No pressure on you, though, mate. Okay. Question number one. The English FA Cup final is on May 20. Which two teams are in the final?
That'll be Chelsea and Man U, is it?
Well done.
That's
Mitch,
a very good get, Mitch.
Yeah.
Well done.
Question number two. Who is the youngest driver to ever win a Formula One World Championship race? Was it A, Fernando Alonso, B, Max Verstappen, C, Alain Prost?
I've got no idea. I'll just go A.
It wasn't Alonso, it was Verstappen. He was just 18 years old.
I didn't know that.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And question number three, Mitch, how many people are there in an official tug-of-war team?
Great question. Great question.
There's multiple choice here, Mitch. So is it A, 8, B, 12, or C, 15?
Oh, God. it has to be an even number. I'll go 12.
Oh, you went the wrong even number.
It was 8, yeah. Bad luck, Mitch. Stay on the line there.
Just think of the logistics of it. Hard to get 12 people.
Hard to get 15.
Yeah, impossible to get 15. Mm. 12 on the rope, 8, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you haven't much time to think about it, though, James.
No, that's true. There's a lot of pressure comes with it. Hello, Rabbit.
G'day, boys. Hey, just quickly, you know why the Rabbitohs lost the other night?
Why? Mm-hmm.
Because those jerseys were so similar. Then how? No wonder we passed to them with a few minutes to go and did it twice. What is wrong with the rugby league that you just can't have proper home and away jerseys like they used to?
Well, yeah.
No different to like Tigers and Newcastle the other week with those stupid jerseys.
Yes. And then the other one was last night. A lot of people felt the Titans and the Sharks were similar.
Yes.
That's right.
I saw you on Twitter saying
the Rabbitohs and the Broncos, even the commentators had trouble with those jerseys.
Rabbit,
yeah,
this is not helping you.
Rabbit,
I understand that. There's a forum for that. That's on the open line on 1353.
No, boys, I've got to do it when I can.
Okay,
absolutely,
fair enough. Righto. Well, you're on the quiz now. Here we go.
Go on.
Question one. Melbourne thrashed the Warriors 50-10 on Anzac Day. How many tries did the Storm score in the game?
Tries.
No clue.
Six.
How's the maths there, Rabbit?
Come on, Rabbit.
48. We'll go 9 tries.
Better kicker than that.
8.
8.
He didn't miss, yeah. Did he? Cameron Smith the other night.
There you go.
From everywhere.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, they took the 2 points.
That's
yeah.
it. That's it.
Yeah. Bad luck. Question 2. Aussie Daniel Ricciardo won the last Formula One Grand Prix. Where was it held? Was it A, Azerbaijan, B, China, or C, Singapore?
Singapore.
I know. You whispered China. That. You had no confidence whatsoever, and now you're in a ding-dong battle with Mitch to try and even things
China.
Up.
Yeah.
Sorry, China.
And
yeah.
isn't he off the pole in Azerbaijan?
Good question. We'll
Tanya
get that in the sports
later,
update
yeah.
with Tanya.
Yeah.
Question 3. How many goals has Tim Cahill scored for the Socceroos in his career? Is it A, 30 goals, B, 40 goals, or C, 50 goals?
40.
Gee whiz, 50, Rabbit. Yeah. Strong contribution around jerseys. Nothing with the quiz. See you later, buddy.
Goals. Hey, Mitch, you there?
I'm here.
Congratulations, Mitch. Manchester United and Chelsea got you over line. It's all you needed, mate. Congratulations.
Beautiful. Good on you, mate. Where are you, Mitch, just out of interest?
In Canberra.
Ah.
Is there event cinemas in Canberra?
Yeah, I'm presuming.
Yeah, there is one in Manuka, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Yep. Go to the nice end of town. There you go. You probably live there, Mitch, do you?
Oh, wish.
Well, good on you, mate. We're going to send you a couple of VMAX movie tickets, and we're going to send you an Elvis Presley The Searcher original soundtrack box DVD set thingy from Sony Music, which I'm sure you'll love.
About 100 songs on it. So.
Is there? Right, fantastic. 1350, we'll get Ray Thomas to sing one for the next 100 weeks. 1353 is the open line number. Let's go to callers, but just quickly.
Warning, 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 warning.
Adrian is on the line. Good morning, Adrian.
Hey, guys. How are you going?
Yes,
how
well.
Are Adrian?
Hey, look, it's disappointing that Canterbury are still getting beat. But one thing, I mean, they're much better the way they're getting beat, the way they're playing, than any of the rubbish that Des Hasler served up the last 3 years. The thing with Canterbury, they haven't got one player in any position that would rank in the top 10 for that position, unfortunately.
One player. Oh, Kieran Foran.
Maybe.
Kieran Foran. Anyway, I thought they were top at different stages against the Panthers on Friday night.
Yeah, when they had those injuries, they got disrupted. They
yeah.
That. Then I don't know what happened after that, and it's just disappointing. And I just feel for Dean Pay with the roster they got. I think they've pretty much got the weakest roster in the competition.
And Adrian, it's going to get worse.
Yeah, yeah, and because and does, I mean, does have any remorse for wrecking Manly, now wrecking Canterbury? I mean, I can't believe that his ability to identify who to keep, who to extend, who to sign, it was just, he must be the worst in the world of it, because, I mean, they turned their back on Cameron Munster and Lachlan Mitchell and Connor Watson and people like that, and they extended contracts to people that nobody wants to take up their contract. So, just appalling.
Not only who, but how?
Yeah.
It's the back-ended contracts which are the bane of some clubs, and it's going to haunt Canterbury for the next 2 or 3 seasons.
Totally. Yeah.
Why hasn't anybody questioned Des Hasler over that? Really pinned him to the ground on that?
Oh, they have. They most definitely have.
But he's never answered it, though, Jimmy.
Well, that's, you know, you can't force him into answer. We're not living in Nazi Germany. So the thing about someone was explaining to me yesterday, I was having a chat to them about, he said, just think, if you pay $10,000 extra for a player and you do it 30 times on your cap, there's $300,000 that you've misspent on your cap.
It just gets sucked out of
your cap. It sounds nothing, right? $10,000?
Goes
nothing.
A long way.
Well, then you look at some of the other prices that these players, where they've overspent $100,000, $200,000 on a back-ended contract, you can only imagine the impact. I know for a fact the Melbourne Storm were desperate to get Mitchell Pearce. And Cameron Smith offered to take a pay cut to get him.
To get him out of the salary cap.
To get him
cap.
There?
Yeah.
But they couldn't fit him in.
Jeez,
I'm not saying they overspent wrongly, but just that's what it can mean, missing out on players like that.
Adrian had a good point, though. But at least the Bulldogs are playing a good brand of footy, and they looked very good in that first half.
They did.
Yeah, Hopewadi was cutting to pieces out wide. When he made that positional change after the injuries, moved Kikau back into the forwards, moved Yeo out to the centres, that changed the game again.
Well, he's played more centre,
Kikau just didn't have the speed to go with Hopewadi.
Yeah.
And that changed the game. And how about the hit from Dean Vare?
Oh.
On Marshall King. And the kid got up.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Fair play to him.
Yeah, good on him. He got up. But, geez, he hit him.
Hello, Anthony.
Morning. I've got marquee players from rugby league, soccer and cricket.
Go.
In the 70s, Manly, just take your pick, Manly got a heap of marquee players from south and west.
Yes.
But the more serious one, the most productive marquee player that I can remember in my time was when Imran Khan played for New South Wales, and he taught outside professionalism, and he taught bowlers like Michael Whitney and others how to bowl reverse swing and stuff like that.
Correct.
And he was so appreciative of what New South Wales done to him that, if you remember, he wore the baggy blue cap in the first session of his return back in the Pakistan team.
Is that right?
Did he really?
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, and just the first session, then obviously went back to this Pakistan.
Fair enough, but yeah.
So it was a reverse thing. He done plenty for us, and we done plenty for him. And in soccer, we have, before Del Piero for SC, in the 70s, Makani brought over an Italian national called Roberto Vieri. If you remember, his son then ended up, they went to school, his son actually played into Milan. I think one of the other son might play a game for Australia. And just like Del Piero, being a superstar of those times, all the away, obviously the home games are all packed out, and just the away games were inflated with crowds as well, just like Del Piero, because everyone wanted to see.
Yeah. And that'll happen with Bogut too, won't it, Anthony, when he comes and plays. He'll draw people to games, not only at the Kings, but all around the country.
Yeah. And can I just throw something out there? And this will test probably his players' friendship with Arnie. And I know, because I know he'll actually favour Arnie. But if the A-League form was the criteria for the Australian coaching job, I would argue that Ernie Merrick's A-League form is just as impressive, more impressive than Arnie.
Arguably, given the players that he has at his disposal.
Yeah, but at least Arnie has been sustained that excellence at Sydney FC
for a
couple of seasons
period.
Now.
That's right, yeah. And that's the beauty and the horror of sport, that in one game it can all change. You know?
Is it fair that a team can finish more than 20 points above the other team at the end of the premiership round, so to speak, and then get one chance and they're out?
That's the system. That's the system.
Gee, it is tough, but it's...
And what do you want to do? First past the post, the EPL?
Well, they do with a Premier's plate. Yeah.
So there you go. 13-53-53 is the open line number. G'day, Bob.
Morning, fellas. How are you?
Morning, Bob.
First off, I just want to talk about the championships and the provincial and country championships.
Yes.
There's one thing missing, and that is the jockeys. Now, Aaron Bullock, I think, got three horses qualified, didn't get a ride. Now, what I'm suggesting is for that one day a year, that if you've got a horse in the country championships, you've got to take a jockey from the country. Got one in the provincials, you've got to take a jockey from the provincials. We're doing a favour for the provincial trainers, we're doing a favour for the provincial owners and the country trainers and the country owners. Why can't we for one day a year? Because what happens when the big carnivals are on in the country, the city jockeys come and take the rides anyway.
I know what you're saying, Bob, and of course Ben Looker rode Victorum to win the country championship final at Randwick, if you owned the favourite and you had the chance to potentially get Hugh Bowman to ride your horse, or Kieran McAvoy.
No, I'm with Bob.
I know what Bob's saying, but I'm saying as an owner has
that
choice.
That's what it's about, because
that's right.
If I've got a horse with Chris Waller, I'd love to win the country championship, but I can't because I've got to have it with a country trainer.
That's right.
Same rules.
Yep. I'm with Bob.
The same rules.
Point.
Support country race. These guys drive thousands of kilometres per week to get a ride and live nowhere near the lifestyle of the jockey.
Yep, I'm 100% with you, Bob.
As an owner, if you had the opportunity, if you were to say your horse is trained in the bush,
King's Trust,
qualifies for the final.
Yep,
and the trainer
and there's
says,
a jockey that got him there.
We can use John Smith or we can use Hugh Bowman or Kieran McAvoy in the final, which is worth $500,000.
No. If what happened with Bob, it would be instituted.
I know what you're saying.
You can't even use that.
But
it doesn't become a thought.
Okay. So, all right, well, fair enough.
And all that happens is that Hughie Bowman and
they don't get to ride
Blake
the country championship.
Miss one race.
What about the flip side? When you have got those country championship races at the country venues, and the champion jockeys turn up to ride, which a lot of them do, and that's like taking NRL games into the bush. Yep. It helps them.
No, it's not. That's like taking NRL games into the bush
and the
Dragons.
A few extra thousand
and the Dragons
into the gates.
And the St George Illawarra Dragons playing the Mudgee Dragons. That's what it's like.
But no, you're dragging a few extra thousand into the gates for that big day for the qualifier.
Yeah, but there's, the seven other races that they can ride in, but that one race that is determined to be the country or provincial championship race.
The Hugh Bunnings and the Kieran McAvoy won't go to those bush meetings if they can't ride in the qualifier.
That's fine.
Okay.
I'm with Bob. All those in favour say aye. 1353 53 is the open line number. Or get us on the SMS 0419 767 272. It's not like they don't have an opportunity, the jockeys.
Mm.
And here's one for the bush jockeys. Mate, I'm with you, Bob. You're not happy.
You're putting Bob down. No, I'm just playing devil's advocate. Bob goes down your little list.
Double asterisks from Bobby. There we go. Hi, boys. I nearly choked on my cornflakes when I heard Zorba blame the media for continuing the Jackson Hastings issue. Trent Barrett has been thrown under the bus by the Manly management. That's Phil the Dragon. Morning, boys. The best and most famous marquee player replacement has to be bold personality turning up for fine cotton. Even though unsuccessful, it has to be one of the most famous, Craig from Tamworth. Interesting point. And then we get this one.
Scooter.
Marquee players. Tanya and Ray securing the services of producer Steve into Team Ray. Don't be fooled, Jimmy. They are luring you into a false sense of security. That comes from Scooter.
How is producer Jeremy? I was texting him during the week when the Yankees were playing.
He's
a massive Boston Red Sox.
He loves his Boston Red Sox. And in many ways, I brought up the Babe Ruth thing this morning just to spite him.
Because he's not here.
Exactly. Marquee player, Sonny Bill Williams, 2013. That comes in from Mark. Yeah, absolutely. He was. And, of course, yet to be determined whether he'll be back in 2018. Hold the phone.
You're not giving up on that?
I'm not wrong. Yes.
Yeah.
I see being named in an extended All-Black squad. I was reading an article during the week. Sonny B. Williams are certain to be named in the squad.
You're trusting your sources there, James.
So hasn't told me anything different. Both sources.